Showtime, star time. Yeah, it's a www.caribbeanradioshow.com. We got it good to go. Dr. F, let them know so the girls them love it nice and mellow. Selfish show. Hey, you live the life you love. You love the life you live. Any music you want, Dr. F will give. Ooh-wee. Greetings, Dr. F brings. From Jack to all ragamuffins who rock it and swing. Greetings, Dr. F. Bring from Jack both ya to all Caribbean lover who is for all the diamonds and the money and pearls. Dr. F, you keep playing reggae around the world. No matter what the price, what music is nice. Hold your little string and rub it tonight. Well, oh, greetings, Dr. F, bring from Jack to all ragamuffins. Ooh-wee, greetings, Dr. F, bring from Jack to all ragamuffins. Ooh-wee. Yes, most definitely we got it like that. It's www.caribbeanradioshow with Dr. F. Selfish show, the girls still love it so. Keep it nice and mellow. Yeah, this is our friend representing. Big up yourself, Dr. F. Give it to them, Sensei.
Wow, want to say big love and good evening to you. I guess I'm just kind of doing a reverbing thing here. Hey, good morning, good evening. Welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show. This is your host, Dr. F, behind the mic this evening. Well, prepare yourself for one of the greatest shows that we've ever put on over here at the Caribbean Radio Show. We have one of the forefathers, I call them the pillars of reggae music. A lot of times we don't get an opportunity to sit down and chat with these artists that really knows what goes on behind the scenes of the music, who really were the backbones. Some of the people who really made this music what it is. We're going to be talking to none other than Mr. Ansel Creedland this evening. If you don't know him by that name, The Meditation, how can you forget that? Hey, give us a call. I know you may have a question or two. 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. We are going to say hi to all of you guys in our chat rooms over there at the F-Book and iTunes over there on TuneIn Radio and on the BTR platform and any and all of the links over there on Google Plus in the Hangout. Thank you so much for coming along for the ride this evening. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a ride and excitement. So prepare to hear some of the great music. Want to take a quick break here to get my throat a little bit sorted out, my excitement and all. It's 8:04. PM on the eastern side of the globe. I want to give you a little taste of what is to come. Jungle Fever, Mr. Ansel Creedland.
Bubbling. All around the place. It got me bubbling. Up and down the town. It's just such an
Feeling the master himself, Mr. Ansel Creedland, and the meditation. You can forget that group any at all. If you are of a certain age, you have to have rocked to the music every single day, especially if you lived in Jamaica. I want to go to the phone and welcome the man himself. Mr. Creedland, palms together, welcome you to the Caribbean Radio Show. Thank you so much for coming along and joining us this evening. How are you doing?
Well, I must say, blessed love to all the readers, listeners, music lovers, special roots rock reggae listeners, you know. Well, I man, give thanks and praise to be here, you know.
Well, let
in
me
one piece, you know.
In one piece, hey, of course, we love that. I'm telling you, I'm listening to that beat, dear man. I'm telling you, I'm getting back into those days with a different kind of, you know, niceness about the song.
Go ahead.
I said I'm listening to the jungle feeling there right now, and I'm kind of getting back into them days, you know.
them days, man, you know. Wish if them days they could forward, you know, but, you know, we have to just go and live and give their thanks and praise, you know. Different generation now, different vibration.
Wow, yeah, man. But you know what? I think it is just so, well, for folks like yourself and myself and many other folks that listen to the station, especially when it comes on to oldies, this bring back a special kind of feeling, though, that even the creation of these great music now really cannot give you that nostalgic feeling of like in your days or in my days of when we usually have the vinyl and we had live musician coming up pressing, you know, your voice against the wax.
You see, the new technology that they call human technology, it destroy reggae music. When I say destroy reggae music, since the computer thing come out, you're not getting, like my days in studio, you have 5-6 man playing one time. But nowadays, is one man taking finger and ping, 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 and say, he's a reggae player. Now, some of them, if you even take them now to play, to do a live show, it's difficult for some because them don't used to be playing the music straight. Because the machine, if you say you're playing from G to C, all them do then just pang pang and the rest of it, the machine play the rest. And the good music, you know,
so
that's how it go. But my days, you know, that was the good days, and those elder before my times, you know, I said, I enjoy myself during those time now. Now, in this time I have to really sit and ask myself, talk to myself, and so where the music really going to now? Because we let go something which we create that hit the whole world, that the world look upon Jamaican as the roots rock reggae that we present to the world. And what's going on now, the younger generation now in Jamaica, they are adopting the hip hop. We call it pop down, and the popping down reggae music now. Because
wow.
Instead of now they concentrate on our own things, everybody go and everybody has said want to keep up with the American kind of thing. Remember, when it comes to rapping, it's Jamaican first start rapping, you know, before American. It's Jamaican make American rap, you know.
Now,
after we create such an impact thing that hit the whole universe, why are we let go? Our one thing that we create and bring to the nation and now doing something different now. Now, you have in Europe now, the music now that we used to play is a European playing that type of music now. It looked bad to know that the survey that came out the other day is a white group, is the number one reggae group.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what's going on. White group become the reggae number one group. You know?
You know what, Angela? I am thinking, you're going through the history, and this is why I'm making Caribbean Radio Show here, CRS Radio. We are making a special effort. I've been trying to do this since last year to get voices like yourself. We've had several Dobby Dobson, Keith and Tex, and several of those, Mikey Jarrett, Carlton Coffee, several of those guys coming on, and what I'm trying to do is to get voices like yours and all the other old, as we call them, older Ed, or I call you the grandfathers, the pillars of reggae, to constantly have your voices on the air to let the younger folks know what this music is about, how it came about, and why we needed to preserve it. But a lot of times, we can't reach voices like yours. And I think if we start to hear your voices more, we start to getting the history. Maybe by some osmosis or something, the information will start trickle down to these younger folks, because there is no older people kind of getting together to teach these young folks. So this is why they're doing their thing. You do mention that when we talk about DJing and stuff, America took that from Jamaica. There's nobody that can dispute that. Now we are trying to take back what we are, the pioneer, the trendsetters, and we are following other people and losing the vibrancy.
We're losing our roots, man. We're losing our roots right now because Jamaica stopped press 45, and 45 been pressing in Europe now, and even in Tennessee at this pressing plant over there, Spear 45, they've been pressing vinyl, and Jamaica sell out a majority of them sell out them press, you know. So we damage our own thing, which that we brought to the world, man. We damage, destroy our own thing right now. And everybody's going now talking about download. Download what? What are you making off a download? Because the guys them who know about download and put up them stuff online, so them a download. You tell me now. I want to see a Jamaican that show me that he make call it $10,000 off a download. I would like to see the Jamaican that tell me, say, since this computer thing come in, him sold 10,000 and download. You know,
mm-hmm.
I would really like to see that because my experience, you know, when a man say, take your stuff and put up. The people them that put up your stuff online, they want 50% whatever you get, right, for what you make. And then you don't talk about the producer. The first time you make $1,000 download, $1,000 download, and to put it up, iTunes or whatever them is gonna take 50% of whatever make. 50% out of $1,000. What leave for you, the artist and the producer? You're not talking about shooter time to mix and to master all these things. You know, what are you really making? You know, just look at that. So they destroyed the whole unit right now.
Wow. Oh, wow. You know, this is a sad time. Some people, this is a very sad time for the majority of Jamaican artists.
Yeah, no, you know who it's sad for? You know who it's sad for now? The elder musicians, them,
that
play the music. It's sad for them because all their life is playing in the studio, creating new material. And now that the computer come in, a lot of these producer, I call them reducer, a lot of these reducer now, them don't look for the elders, them to play the music anymore. Them look for the younger one who have a hip hop mind, you know? So it hurt evil. So for instance, these elder musicians in the business over 40 and 30 and 50 years. And this is what them been eating off of all them life. You know, the music. And you cutting out all these things now. So how are they going to survive? You know, you can't tell them to go learn trade again. Their trade was to play music. You say, what kind of trade are you tell them to learn now? And Jamaican music really developed from the R&B music that was played in Jamaica, because the disc jockey them in Jamaica in those times, them only was playing like the R&B songs, whether it be Motown, you know, or any one of them big guys there with them company, them used to have it programmed in Jamaica. So you would hear a lot of Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck, you know, so just a majority of them used to hear. Then we catch on to it now. They, like those elder before my time, they catch on and them start, yes, adopt the singing principle of the R&B and thing. But the Rastaman come in and change the whole thing, because everybody was singing about Girl, I Love You. They break my heart last night. But the Rastaman see the way, you know, that him could get him words across. This is not like when Marcus Garvey used to go around and go to state to state. The Rastaman take the music now a different way, because once him put it on vinyl and it play on the airway, a million people can hear it in no time. So you see, this is where the Rastaman have him way to express himself now, through the music. And the music now is the depression that I and I going through, and what slave was all about to black people. Because a couple of years ago, when you asked American about slaves, them said them is American, they don't know nothing we talk about. You know, them never know about them history. Them never know what take place. Them don't know how them brought to this country. Because every day them get up, them just eat and drink and look at them television and go by what them hear and see and them television. Well, I was telling the people now the truth of what happened, and say once you mix with Babylon, and you go start do the things that they're doing and destroy your own brothers and sisters. So that is what we was trying to avoid, telling brothers and sisters how to live and what take place inert, which, you know, slave master no against them thing that God them no like when you tell people the truth always be an offense, you know.
But,
so that is where the Rasta man did put for him. Hey, it's not, I love you, girl, I love you, break my heart, and everything. Never not too much of that, you know. So it was a different music from in the 50s coming up. When it reached like the 60s, the Rasta man now change the whole thing now and start sing about life and show people about what taking place in earth. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm telling you, but even we ourselves, a lot of the folks who are not conscious as to what's going on earth, you start to sing certain music or you start to hut a certain sound and they have a problem with that as well. So I certainly understand that. And when we talk about reggae music and exactly on the same pathway you're talking, our sound, the vibration, helped to free South Africa, helped to bring social consciousness around the entire world. People who never knew about Ethiopia, people who never knew about Selassie, Jamaica.
Jamaica bring out all of these things to the eyes and the ears.
But now it's really disappointing. All we're hearing, and I'm not saying all, but I really want to say that to make an impact. All we're hearing, and like when folks get at me, because at least we start a conversation. All we're hearing now coming out of Jamaica is woman to skin out and cock up and make them push in a world. And anybody want to take me to task to that, you're welcome. But I think we have to get to that aggressive mode for people to understand, at least even to come back at me and say, hey, you don't know what you're saying. You're not listening to this. And so at least a conversation can ensue, because I don't think that people are really balancing and seeing that we as a country and as a people and as a nation is going, we become consumers. We're consuming everybody's things. When we are happy, it's because we are able to buy somebody else's things. We don't embrace each other. We don't support nothing in each other. We fight against each other. We cut throat against each other. And therefore, and then we dilute ourselves in what we think we are integrating into and being a part of. And I think that is very, very sad.
That is the mistake we make in life. We the black people. Making life, you know, since slavery be a big part of our upcoming and live it, you know, slavery. And
how long we gonna blame slavery?
It's not how long we're gonna blame it, you know. You see what happened already done happen, okay, but these people still sleeping. They need to wake up and see what's going on in life. Right? It's just like you wake every morning and you go and you see things on the shelf and you buy things on the shelf and you put in your structure. Do you know where it's coming from? Do you know what you're eating? You know? It's like we lack our consciousness and our mind what we're really eating. You know? And this is what's been going on in life, and it's hard for some of us to really look at the truth. Once things are okay for them, them don't care about who is suffering. You know,
yes.
Once you are okay, you don't care about the person that's suffering. And this is where we want ones and ones to really take notice of. You know, we're going into a deeper depression at all times. At all times, and we've been beating down each other. Now, you say, for instance, the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
The ghetto is a place that will never become as one. You know, that people live in peace and harmony. has gone to, you know, the living a life, everyone fighting against them one another in the ghetto. And if them see you have a dollar more than the next man, they are planning how to destroy you if you take away that dollar. That's what, well, in the ghetto, this is where we want the people wake up to know, say, why, look, life is, you know, full time, we overcome, we really take place on earth and stop destroying each other. Because what's really going on in Jamaica, and not even Jamaica alone, because I was looking at hearing some news a few weeks ago about some place where that man's selling them own brother legs for $200.
Oh, my,
you know?
God.
Man go out and hunt them own brothers in some part in Africa there.
Yes.
So, you see, so much wickedness going on earth right now. It's only reggae music bring out them truth and tell the people them what's really going on, you know.
Yes, yes.
And that is the music them fight against right now, reggae music.
And also they fight against people. Listen to me. I say forever here, we kill Bob, I don't know about Bob Marley, we kill Marcus Garvey. Oh, well, the only person that I think that would have brought, all of our eras, when we think about Marcus Garvey, you know, think about Marcus Garvey did, just under the shadow of slavery, had the audacity to even buy ships, you know, to bring people on a financial footing where we started to trade with each other. We were uniform. We were marching in unison. We never have Twitter. We never have Facebook. We never have telephone, in abundance. We had just newspaper to keep us together and people together and working in the same until, of course, they sent one of us to infiltrate the group thing because that wasn't good. We were going to be taken away from the slave master, so he won't have no slave.
You see, there's a free labor.
Mm-hmm.
You call it free labor, you know. Slave master, no one lose him slaves, then, you know. That's what go, because Marcus Garvey was getting the people and telling people, say, boy, they want to play back. They want to play snow, it's to head back to Africa. You know, and Cliff Master never wanted to do that, so he sent out him Philistine them. He got destroy Marcus Garvey, just like when Martin Luther King and them, and I rise up.
Yes.
And I tell the people them, you know, see, anything good, you know, anything you come up good for the people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people them always watch. Then kill out all the heroes them, you know. You realize that.
And then we turn around and make statue of them and worship them.
Yeah.
Call them a celebration after them dead. I mean, can't our people not understand and see from history? We have enough history to, even a lot of folks in the reggae music, they fight against in the music and make everybody else to come and take over the music, and then we realize that not even pittance they're getting. I mean, what highs have to open? What doors have to open?
The first time, look at this. Bob Marley, this thing, I Shot the Sheriff. Right? How many copies him sold? All right? Eric Clapton, take it over.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, him sell over 3.5 million copies. Just look at the difference. Now, John Holt did sing Kai Reside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just come a few little copies. But when Blondie them take it and sing it now, it go millions. So that means, what am I sure you say? Just look at the whole picture. Them have the Grammy right now. And this is where we want all the Jamaicans and all the reggae people, all who are involved in reggae music, to write these people who are responsible for them Grammy thing and make them really recognize reggae music, because whatever who them nominate for the reggae business, it everything go behind door. Anybody win, like reggae people, it go behind door. But see them thing come from light and everybody say who win, who this, who that, who that. But our thing now is behind closed door. You only hear about it next year, say, John Brown win Grammy. You know, establish. So these are the things we must really take stands against, you know. But it don't need one person. It need a force of people to get to these people and make them voice hear. You know, your voice have to be heard.
But we can't, Ansel, we are not doing that, and I don't see any day down in the pipeline in my lifetime that we will get together and organize. Let me tell you something, and we have some time that we can chat. Hey, folks, for those folks who are out there who would like to ask Ansel a question, 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Ansel, let me tell you something. I've been doing this for a while now. And there are artists and there are folks who come online and the whole world hear them. And they have this passionate plea for getting together. And they may say they're going to work. They're going to start working together. Trust me. After they've gone off air, you never hear from them. And they go around at every place and they do just that. So I am not even impressed with these folks anymore. I am just so disillusioned that it is not. I realize, and I take a posture that I really don't want the friendship because there is no true friendship. There is nothing in reggae music as far as I'm concerned. If there are folks who are really true and who are dedicated to fight the cause, like you fought it, like when you guys were coming up, that brought this music to this forefront, that foreigners, and I'm not saying anything about foreigners. If you see a piece of jewelry and know it's been kicked around and you can pick it up and clean it off and let it glitter, you are welcome to it. Music is a free thing. It is for everybody to embrace. So if it's a pink man or a blue man who pick up reggae music and refine it or go about marketing properly and make $1 billion, I hail him for that because that's what he has to do. If we cannot recognize that we must come together, we cannot only sing about coming together in music. We cannot not only pretend when we get an ear to talk about coming together. And as soon as we drop off the mic, you call up your friends and you have a little click here and they try to murder you and they try to slaughter you and all of that. Those are the same people who are talking about love. Who are we fooling, though? Really and truly. And we have Snoop Lion just came about in the first Immermeca Reggae album, and there's no person in Jamaica who is selling the amount of albums that we get up and we cuss and we call and we name and we argue and the man sitting down making a lot of money while we, our mouth can't are dry and are fought out because we don't have nothing to eat nor anything. We cannot do that. What we need to do is to sit down, come together, and decide, hey, this thing can make money. We know we can make money. We need to get down and start marketing and start speaking together, respectfully coming to the table and doing what we're supposed to do rather than killing and tearing down each other. You know, there's some folks out here, that call themselves musicians and speak words of inspiration.
I don't cut you. When our things start, you know, our own people never really recognize it neither. They used to mock.
We don't.
Mock our thing. You know, I remember one time I was learning trade and this brethren come twice to go on an audition and the people in my room was laughing and said, talk about, you know. Listen, Engelbert Humperdinck. Listen, Tom Jones. The man, they're a singer. You see, you want people, them. This is where one still, you know. So you have to be strong in yourself, you know, to really, you know, stand on your feet, you know, because your own people, them, is so dominate to you. them if you don't stand strong, then discourage you. And one thing I learned is when you say, I want to do good, help them, give them courage.
No,
not
want
to do bad. It's a different thing.
Not our people. Not our people. Not
our people. Don't give the courage there. You know, it's hard to get around our people. Our people always say a mark out of us. You know? So it takes these guys now. Remember, you know, look how funny it is now. Remember these guys put us in slavery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
See? And these guys put us in slavery and do all dominate our lifestyle. But it's still these guys come around again and come, you know, come invest in you so that a lot of us today can go there and go there and go there, because if it wasn't for these guys, so for instance, Bob Marley become the greatest reggae singer right now over the world. You know, just look at that, where Bob become now. And everybody say, Bob, yeah, Bob, but them know what Bob got through. Them know what Bob got through if you really get where it is. Them would not play Bob music. Bob have to take up some of my man them one time, you know, from jungle, you know, and go up at the radio station and decide to go beat, man, you know, because they know how to play music. See?
But nowadays, yeah, the same thing, you know, answer, because most of the man them who produce good music, if you now have a big money for play, let me tell you something. You have to understand how the system work, you know. The system morph itself differently. And if you don't realize and understand this, you think there's changes. Their music that are playing on the radio now, but whose music is playing? Who control it? And if you do get your music, especially in Jamaica, you have to make sure you're dropping some big money to keep your music there on the air. So instead of the man saying, now play your music now, he's going to still push you out and say, hey, you have to give me $10,000 a week to get your music playing now. It is the same thing as not playing your music, because most of the musicians do not have the money. They're struggling. They do not have the money to play them.
Like for you on the ear now, let us teach you something about the music business with my time in the business. A lot of these radio disc jockey, I don't think them really understand what was going on in studio. It's the love of it for the people. Our time is not making money. No money is not making in reggae music until when Bob Marley passed and everybody hear this about Bob. Everybody, you have a lot of people now where go school, go learn a certain degree. That's your them degree, you know, everybody for them want to go sing now. It's a different thing now from our time. Our time, we never go in a reggae music for love. And if you talk to the elders them before we never go in it for the money business. We're just going out for the love of it, just to sing music, you know, express ourselves through music. All right. When you're going to studio first time with my kind of recording done, you have a bass, you have a guitar, you have a piano, you have a drum. Then after that, you will have like a horns, etc., keyboards, and all these things. Now, you're spending, in Jamaica, you're spending them time, them used to pay like, it used to be like you pay like, musician fee was like, it was $15 till it got $30. From $30, it went to $40. From 40, then it went to $100. Until, you know, it get to where it is now. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go in a studio to lay, so you're going to lay 10 songs. No, nowadays, from the 80 come up now. You're paying each musician. So you're giving each musician $100. And it's 10 song you're doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you're done, just through the time alone, you're going to spend, roughly you're going to spend 20 over 40, 50 hours. You can spend in this studio when you're doing an album. When you come out of the studio now, you have to go to the mastering room. The mastering room will charge another $800 to do the mastering. Now, you have to go to the you have to make the stamp panel different from the mastering. And after that, you have to make labels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, final work. So when you look, sometimes you spend over $200,000 on one album. See, you can spend all $100,000 on one album. Now, you take this thing and you put out here now. If you're going to pay a radio man $10,000 to play, and it's not one radio person, you know, there's a lot of them you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
When you to go around, say you have 10 men on the station, and you go around and give everybody $10,000 or $5,000, where the music going to sell that you yourself going to achieve back all that you spend, you know? It's hard for you. You have to sell millions for you to achieve back what you spend out there. You know? So a lot of people don't know the expense in studio, how much money it costs to really make an album to put out. You know? There's a lot of money you have to spend. And in this time now, when you're going to go around and you pay radio person $10,000, then you have to buy commercial and that. Different ads and all different things. You don't make it. Then if you're singing for a producer now, it's worse. Because the producer hardly going to gain back anything to pay you. When him do get something, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
what him get. It's just a hand-to-mouth thing, you know. He really can't give you a dollar out of it. You see? So a lot of people, to understand where say you go and sign to a record company. A record company say, okay, they're going to give you $50,000 or $100,000. And they need two albums. One album each year. And then give you $100,000. If you win that record, they're going to spend, say, for instance, spend, after giving you the advance of $100,000, they're going to spend another $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
To promote the album. Now, if the album, say for instance, you only sell 50,000 of that album, you see the next album, when you have a delay for the next album, if them put out that album, you know, that album only spend 40, only sell 40,000, you don't longer have a label. You realize that?
Wow.
So this is what happened to a lot of these singers. Even American singers, when you see them out there and singing for a record company and all these excitement playing right there, and you will look on BET and see them all over, in the end of it, if them don't make millions, them have nothing to get because all these money that them recoup go back in expense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? That's how the business go. If you're not a good seller to keep up with the market, you're not going to have a contract.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Yeah. So there's a lot of things to learn in the music business, yes. It's good to write your own music. When you write your own music, you're long time better off.
Okay, because you can get from publishing.
Yeah, you can get publishing from it. But when you sing over another person, it's only royalty. But say, for instance, somebody use your song into a movie, that's the only time you're going to really get something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody use your song as, for instance, one of these big guys, sing over your song, because you're the writer. When Bob Marley start to really achieve something, you know, is when them sing I Shot the Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, the album, the song sell 3 million. It's 3 million 10 cents that
mm-hmm.
in recouping. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is what make your way through the business. So there's a lot to learn in the business, man. That's why when you hear a lot of artists out there, so them broke and man, I say, but you sing so much song and you do this and that and do that. You know? is the company to get back all the money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have nothing getting. So that's why it's good to write your own material.
Wow, wow.
I
think that musicians also need to, I think because people started doing this for the love of it and wasn't thinking necessarily as something that they would do for the rest of their life, they did not incorporate the business part of reggae music at that time, especially when you guys started out, that it would have taken off. People just sit around and just sing and just do it as pastime. I think now it's a different thing. This is why musicians, before they get into this business, and it should be looked in as a business, they should understand the business, or else they're going to be in a lot of problem. And therefore, we're going to have a lot of problem with producers too. Because if you don't understand the business, to understand a producer making an investment, and although the song may be selling quite a few copies, he has to recoup his investment. And then, apart from that, then he gives it to you. But a lot of musicians don't understand that. And I think this is what is causing a big, big problem. Now, I want to get to some phone calls. You can just hold the phone call. But I need to just go into some of the history of the reggae music for you. Tell me, Ansel, when did you start out into this business?
Well, in reggae business, no. I'm on, our life was a rough life. And my thing is not just singing, like when, say, by myself, I used to just singing as a little youth. Not until I was at this place in St. Catherine, the racehorse stable, wanted to become a jockey.
Wow.
And here I saw, yeah, because my stepfather at the time was a trainer. But he was fighting against I not to ride at the time, fighting against even my brother. For what reason, I don't know. But anyway, I would be singing up there, singing. I saw the mechanic that came on the premises at the time, fixing all the tractors. They was singing, man. And when I would put it to my pint of duty and go by inside, every time that him come there, and I look at him one day and say, look, I don't sing like you, you know. When things break up at the studio, you know, and one of my friends, you know, I mean at this table, and so what are you going to do? You're heading back to town now. I said, well, I go sing, you know. So he said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to drive. And after 4 or 5 years apart, now we didn't see each other. Until when Spanish Town was putting in 2 weeks, I saw this tractor looking down the trees then. At the time, my man lived down in the ghetto, they call him Majestic Garden, otherwise known as Bacto. And I saw the tractor come stop on that tree. And when I looked, it was the bridge that me and him were stable together. And I was able to give him some record at the time because I started records for a label named Lafodelle and JJ. And we talked, my first recording was for Live Matador, a song named Sefe. That is 68, between 68 and 69. And I have this group in Jungle. They call them the Linkers. We do a couple songs together. And late 73, that's when I met Danny. I was about going to the studio to do a song. And I met Danny, and Danny followed me to the studio. And I recorded the song, and Danny blew a melody. Now we're talking about 73.
Mm-hmm.
So he would throw some chords on the guitar, and, you know, we would moving together. And then in the ghetto now we start singing like the Impression songs then, because Curtis Mayfield, you know, the Impression was dominating Jamaica at that time. So we would just like the sounds of their sound, and we would just sing in their song over and over, daytime. So after a while, now we went for audition in 74, and our first song was Woman Is Like a Shadow.
Wow.
Then after that, now, it did not release. We went back together and we do Babylon Trap Them, Longest Live a Woman Piava, that is late 76. And after those songs came out, now Running From Jamaica was a big seller here in New York here. Then I go back and do a song named Trick. Now, our first album was for Dobby Doxon and the second one was for Dobby Doxon. Well, after we do the song, you know, we hear people start call all about, and I say, man, the song good, you know. And then after Woman Is Like a Shadow came out, you know, November 76. There was a guy coming from Bermuda, was looking for the meditation, so they need meditation in Bermuda badly. You know, and, you know, I just see straight that, you know.
Wow.
Going from this one, after we leave Bermuda and go back to Jamaica, you know, when we get to the airport, we saw Copeland Forbes and said that, care some paper, can give it a sign, and said we're going to the United States. That is 77. And our first trip here was Beacon Theater. And then we go to Madison Square Garden. And history was just ups and downs. That was the good days, you know?
Wow. Now we have some of the greatest studios. I want to talk a little bit about the happenings in the studios. We want to talk about Scratch a little bit. And you know, kind of get the history of what went on into the studios, because a lot of people don't know the history of those and some of the studios there, and how that really, I think in my mind, helped to really control the quality of the music, since, you know, nobody had any pro tool to go on and do their ding 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 ding, and everybody had to go through those studios, whether Beverly's or Scratch or any one of those. You have the audition and people usually are there to tell you if you need to improve here. Now we don't have that at all. No wonder why we have the quality of music that's coming out to Jamaica now. But we want to talk a little bit. But before we do that, I want you to hang on a little bit. Because we won't play one of your big tune. I grew up on this song, and I hope that you guys have never heard the song before now really hear what we usually dance to and write in our exercise books. The Meditation, Mr. Anthony Crigdon, one of the big number one song in Jamaica. I tell you, this is Sonia Wicked.
Man, if you run down your shadow now, you can never catch him. Man, if you run down your shadow now, you can never catch him. I said a woman is like a shadow, and a man is like an arrow. Woman is like a shadow, and a man is like an arrow. So never let a woman know how much you love, 'cause there will be no peace in your life. And I said, never let a woman know how much you care, 'cause they will do things to hurt you, and it's no joke about it. I said to do what you can for them, but not too much, cause they will hurt you. Give what you can afford, but don't give much, cause they will hurt you. Listen when I say to you, and no joke about it. Easy come, easy go. If you run, run down your shadow, you can never catch it. If you run, run down your shadow, you can never catch it. But never let a woman know how much you love, cause there won't be no peace in your life. And I said, never let a woman know how much you care, cause they will do things to hurt you, and it's no joke about it. I said to do what you can for them, but not too much, cause they will hurt you. Give what you can afford, but don't give much, cause they will hurt you. A woman is like a shadow, and a man is like an arrow. A woman is like a shadow, and a man is like an arrow. A woman is like a shadow, and a man is like an arrow. Listen when I say to you, is like a shadow, and is like an arrow.
Wow, the big, big song of the meditation.
Yes, yes,
yes. No, let me ask something, Hans. What are you doing? What is that song? How did that song come about?
Well, you know, as I say again, when your heart been broke, you know, that is your young years, your heart been broke, you know, you come out with them kind of sound there. But you see that song is really, that song captured the ears of Bob Marley, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, because when he was in England, him say, when he hear that song, he said, which group this? You know?
And a lot of folks, yeah, that you played, your group backed up Bob Marley at some point.
Yeah, yeah. We do a few songs with him.
Wow.
And,
well,
and is the reason for that song, too. Yeah.
Because song. Now, tell me something. Let's talk about the studio a little bit and what goes on in the studio, and what was happening, how you got connected to Bob. This song was produced by Dobby as well?
No. This song was produced by Joe Hawkins at the Challenge One studio.
Okay, good. Tell us a little bit about the studios, because I really want to go inside of some of these studios and hear what was going on, some of the histories. Let's start off with Scratch, because maybe we'll spend a little bit of time on that. Talk about Scratch, Lee Scratch.
Well, Scratch now, I used to scratch from in the 60s, because in those days, and on Orange Street, you would find you have Bonnie Lee, one section, Prince Buster, one section. Then you have Scratch and 90 with Clan Seattle,
mm-hmm,
one section. Everybody have them look. You have even the tenors. Everybody, mm-hmm, have them look a giant. We're around like Parade now. You would find Joe Gibbs,
mm-hmm,
and not more other producers. Now, after when you're going into the 70s, now Scratch go to Duane Park, where him develop his studio down there. No, at those times you used to have Randy Struder that them used to work into. Then
right,
you used to have the West Indies before it become Dynamic Zone. Then you have Federal Records. Then you have Harry G. Rick up there. But in the late 70s, that's when Challenge One should have developed. But anyway, Scratch now. After I went down by Scratch, that is in Duane Park, Washington Garden era. And we actually, David Axon bring us down there to do three recording when we was working on our first album, Message from the Meditation. So we got there and lay running from Jamaica and two more songs. So after we do that song, somehow the sounds of the group capture Scratch ears.
Wow.
The Scratch, come look for us, Andy, and say, look, I want, you know, and I'm through there, you know. Yeah. I see something, you know, I hear a sound where and I really like, you know, sing for I come on my studio and come do an album and thing. But now them time, you know, I wasn't in too much doing album to everyone and such, you know. I was just working on my thing with Dabby Docs at the time. But what would happen now? We'd go by Scratch every day and all the new artists, them and any harmony that to be done, we would do the harmony. And that's where I start watch what it takes to produce a song and arrange a song. When I see Scratch, the things that Scratch was doing, that time you only have 4-track recording and 8-track recording at a studio. The 16-track was just coming in. And Scratch, you would find out 30 track out of Scratch studio. You don't know how him do it. You
wow.
know, but you would get 30 track out of Scratch studio. And he's a man who was so spiritual when doing his recording. You would sing in a line and him inside and him stop the tape. And he would look at a version and used to name Milford Edward. And he would say, read that line for me, that chapter. And he would tell you, if you are talking about the road, he would explain, yes, what the road means and where to go on the road. That's Scratch. You know,
wow.
He would change everything. So he become, you know, I started to study him now and look at his work and what it really takes to really bring out the song. And, you know, when the Congo come in, the Congos, and they work on their first album, Scratch would call us, you know, and we spend nights upon nights on the album, doing background harmony on the album. Juna Mervyn also, we would be there doing a lot of background harmony and different other singers. And so seeing Scratch and Bob now together is when they was about to do Black Man Redemption, and then Sen called me now when Bob come back to Jamaica there. And but before Funky Reggae Party, which become one of Scratch and Bob big song there in Jamaica also. My knowledge to Funky Reggae Party, I remember one day I was down there and Scratch was playing the beat, Funk Reggae Party, that Bob sent it from NASA for him to lay the tracks around it. And then Scratch take it to Joe Gibbs' studio and bring in Sly and Val Douglas. And they lick the rhythm, play the rhythm around the vice. And then Scratch send back the tape to Bob in NASA. And Bob revise back the song now and send back the song. That's when we go on the song with three more girls, one named Horror, one named Candy, and another one. And we put out that Scratch mix the song and put it out, and it become a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And after when Bob come to Jamaica now, Bob sent Carlos now. And when we go now, we met him at Aquarius Studio. He was about to do Black Man Redemption and Rasta Man Live Up. So when I get there, he said, oh, you're meditation, and he was referring to the song, The Woman's Like a Shadow.
Uh-huh.
He said, man, when I was in England and hear that song, and I said, which group this? He said, man. So then we have some work to do here. And that that really brought me more to producing things, what I see what it really takes. He was singing that song from 7:30 till 11 o'clock. So when we go back inside the engineer rooms, Scratch look at Bob and say, "What happened? Why you done?" Bob say, "Yeah, the song done." So Scratch say, "No, I'm not going to Bob that. About that." So Bob say, "What are you talking about now?" Scratch say, "You know, don't sing the song yet, man. That sound like a man I try to sing like you." And
wow.
So Bob get mad for him and say, "Man, look how long we are singing the song." But the reason for that, the rhythm was laid, the tracks was laid at dynamic sound. In those days, it was 16 tracks, so they use up all the tracks. They only leave two tracks. The two tracks that leave now is one for the voice, for the lead singer, and one for the harmony.
Mm-hmm.
So you both have to sing the same time. And any mistake make, you have to go back over it from top.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how it used to go, because only one track, two track lead, the rest are track them. So, man, that's when when we go back inside and we start singing the song. When Bob start, Scratch was on him too, and I show Bob the little catch it when Bob go up and say, "Well, we're not the Congo, I dreadlocks, bingy, hoy." You know, but Scratch was on him too, pint and I make the sign, and, you know, I want him to say, "Hit it now." And Bob said, "Black man, redemption." You know, Scratch was there with him, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, man, it really takes so much out of eye that time, if you see. But it takes to really bring out a good song. Yeah, man, I read Scratch, man. The world sign, man, is very unbelievable. But you have to be there to see for yourself. Is a man was so spiritual that when him make him songs, them, you always have to read a chapter. You know, then him scream little battle and him go around and him tell you this and him tell you that and him go back round again and him say, sing back. And it's a man will take any little thing and put in his music. He will take all a little battle. He will see all a bird a fly past and up and him take that sound and put in that music. That's Scratch, man. I would be there. I would be there with my guitar, sit on the front of the studio, and we'd be banging it, bang, bang. And when we look, Scratch just come put a mic right there, taking up that sound, and I put it into a record. That's Scratch.
So he was such a pioneer to a lot of these sounds, and he was in tune and listen and observe everything that was going on while creating.
Yeah.
And incorporate that into the music.
Yeah.
Wow.
The genius, that man.
Wow.
You know?
But a lot of people, is this, I mean, and I'm not sure, and just correct me if I'm right, just for, you know, the chatter, people was saying that he's crazy. Talk to that about it.
No. I always ask people this. Can a madman travel on plane? Huh? No, so for instance, can a madman travel on plane? Madman can't travel on plane, you know. And Scratch travel all over the whole world. Scratch go everywhere in the world. So how can he be a madman?
Is it because people didn't understand how he functioned? Is it because
I see what takes place there, you know. Scratch used to run a whole procession every day. And you have different musicians. One at a time, you have Naya Bingy moving Scratch House. And the whole thing become a frustrated thing for him. Because everybody come to him now. The session musicians then come for money. And at the time, money was low with Scratch at that time. And everybody pack up and get, you know, coming to him. So Scratch just paid this little thing on them to get them off. you know, start lock up him gate and start mark up some all different thing on him gates. And first thing him do, him throw some painting at the in at the board, the shoulder board. And he throw out all the tapes them on the ground in the sun. And start with some little things. So everybody says, Squash mad. And that was to get off all the people who used to gather around him. You know? So mm-hmm. he used that little thing and him just stuck with that little movement. And instead of you come now and down in 9 years now, I tell him things when I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have him off because you're going to say, boy, Scratch a madman, you know, we don't want nothing to do with it. Then just continue that way there. But you catch him one away and talk to him, and he won't talk to you. Eh?
So a big psychologist, then, man.
Yeah. I just use that, and he's stuck in it to try and find some get through with it. You know, he might vibe people. You know, mm-hmm. but no madman can travel up and play, man. Any madman travel up and play, you know, they have to time down in some stiff jacket and all them kind of thing, you know. And scratch travel the world. You know, I give you a joke. One time in Jamaica, I was in this bank line. So I see all the people them was laughing. But through the bank was so packed, I didn't know what. I look around and I can't see why them laughing so much. And even the teller them, the girls them there, them was laughing. But when I hear a voice, I say, "Who? What are you doing inside here?" So I look around now. When I look, I see scratching the bank with him two sons. And him have a rod in his hand. And he was just walking around and touching all the flowers them that inside the bank. And the guard guy, you know, he must get so bummy that him feel say, the scratch just walking around and touching the flowers or something wrong him up. So him hold on to his gun ready to shoot, you know.
Wow.
You know? So I said to him, so wait, what's wrong with you, man? He said, you know the man? I said, don't trouble you, man. Just do your guard work, man. The man not interfering with you. So he was saying to Scratch, son, take him out here. But well, all when I do all the man ticks when I go on with him. Scratch never appeared my mind, you know. Scratch was not paying him one mind. Because Scratch come there with a what they call it, scandal bag full of some pounds.
Wow.
You know? And him like him go buy grocery at store. You know, you know, when you go buy grocery store, you know, yeah. The scandal bag in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Scratch come with two of them, you know. Two of them Scratch come with and two of them son there. And the two son have one each. So when them there laughing and I make a laugh out of Scratch.
The man a deposit notes.
Huh?
The man a deposit some big notes while they're sitting there laughing.
They're making big laugh and all the guard man holding panning gun. So when Scratch, when they laugh, all the girls them who serving, you know, you tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And them a laugh off a Scratch, you know, because them see him, because how him dressed, come inside here. Everybody will take him for an idiot.
Okay.
You see, when he walk up to the teller,
mm-hmm.
business time now, you know, all marking done now, you know. So when he walk up to the teller and when he talk to the girl, you see the girl hold on for her heart. And the girl walk around, you see the girl come with one of them big book. And when Scratch start, Scratch just clap him on and him two son come. And when he take out the pounds him and put on top of the desk, money high gone up in the year. Everybody shocking at the bank. And I him them a laugh off.
Wow.
Everybody shock in the bank. Take what me and tell you. Everybody shock. You know. the guy with his gun, where did him look? We stand up with his gun like he ready to shoot. He couldn't believe what he see. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said, all right.
More or less.
Yeah.
was working with all of these guys, and everybody probably thinking I have loads of money, so I'm going that way to kind of keep away people from
Money. So everybody go with them antics of scratch mad, scratch laugh off of them.
Tell me, how is it, what was the working relationship? You just mentioned that, you know, he tried to click something with Bob's work, and Bob was a little bit upset. How was the relationship between him and Bob, and how long did it stay with him?
It was great between them, you know. The only difference between them at the time.
Lot of noise.
It was a song.
Too much noise in the background there, Anson.
Cut down that. Cut it off. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was a song. Who quit the game? I did want that song to put out. Bob did want that song to put out. Who quote the game?
Okay.
But he would not. So at the time, it was the same time the board was giving Scratch trouble at the time. Them couldn't get to do him work the way he wanted to do the work. So he get upset with the Struder. So Bob said to me, "You think it's the Struder why I'm going on like that?" So Bob said, "Okay, go to him and tell him that to send me the song. Who quote the game? And I will send a $10,000 for him to get back aboard." So when I go to him and I tell him, he said, "No, not sending no song to him."
Wow.
So what reason? Yeah, he said, "I'm not sending no song to him." You know, well, you know, them have them little dispute, but he's a man that Bob did believe in, because he was a great part of Bob's career.
Wow.
When it come to arrangement and style, you know. And Bob always believed in Scratch. That's why the two of them work together, always work together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, Bob know him style, Bob know him sound. You know, so that's why them so close.
Wow, you know, a lot of you know, and this is why this conversation is so very important. So we understand exactly some of these things. Some of these folks are not able to speak because they're not here anymore. But when I hear this, this is where the great history and all of our shows are archived. So we get an opportunity to really hear directly what goes beyond the scene, because a lot of stories are out there that needs to be put to rest also, and for people to understand exactly what goes on. We are so eager to say things that are not true, and very few of us out there know the truth or are willing to get up and speak. And for that, you know, we really want to thank you so much for coming here and chatting to us, because this is very, very important. A lot of folks listening for the first time would have heard exactly what went on inside the studio, and nobody can do it better than the people who were there, and for that we really, really thank you for coming here.
All the time, man, you know.
Yeah.
I give thanks that I am here, that I can deliver and share some of my experience with you and other people and all the radio listeners, regular listeners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing before we go.
No, we ain't going now. We have you're gonna have a long time with me, so don't bother going anywhere yet. You better put your coffee or your tea or your water inside you.
As on the topic of Bob, there was another thing I'm amazed about Bob. In my ghetto, every day people would come to me, knock on my gate, them looking bread, them looking sugar. And if I step out on the road, the time I get on the road, you'll find people just coming to me, begging me that. Sometimes it get a little annoyed to me, but not too much annoyed, you know, because my man just like to give, okay. You know. So one day, I was up by Hope Road, me and Bob in the yard talking. And when you go to Hope Road, you could ask anyone, you know. You'll find out 300-400 people every day in the yard, you know.
Wow.
Every day, them full up in the yard. Some of Bob friend them from jungle. You know, just imagine, you in your yard every day and see 400 people and 300 people in your yard every day. Eh?
Wow.
And you know, so are you them looking far, stretching them on to.
Wow.
So, while I was there talking, you know, we're just talking about life and music and what he wants. Because this is a thing where a lot of people don't know the kind of effect this really have on I myself, you know. Because after we finished the song Black Man Redemption and Rasta Man Live Up Tonight, we come out the studio 7 o'clock in the morning. And he asks me if I work. I said, no. He said, all right. He said, I'm going to put up a studio together. We must come up a Hope Road. You know? And we would have him cook. Him cook was great. Me and Gilly. Gilly would drop a woman at night time and everything. And, you know? So one day, you know, me and him was there and him was talking about his studio runnings and everything. And him said, well, meditation, all me want to have, you know. I want to have my own studio, you know. Say, yeah. So now that me, I look about you right now. At the time, the studio didn't put up yet. So me said, Bob, you must have a pressing plant, you know, too. Him say, you're late, man. Me have one already, man, and then me have another one, and the sea come. And the one they're going to name Zig. Him said, that one going to name Ziggy. So me said, so where the other one is? I said, I buy your Pattinger press already, man. I said, what? That time Pattinger press used to on Orange Street, you know, downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Orange Street. So anyway, he said, it's for me not this business here. Me always have to go to a white man or a Syrian man to use them studio. I may go to the Chinese man. A full-time black man have things to themselves.
Hold on one second there. Just back up a little. So you're telling me at this point that he was conscious of the whole commerce and how this business aspect of this thing go then?
Yeah. That is Bob. Yeah.
Wow.
All these things we was there reasoning and him said, much why he said, all him want to have is to own him own studio. Because for him in the business, him always going to a Chinese man or a white man or a Syrian man. But he want to own him own things. Now, you see, when I really go, after him passed, it was a hard thing, you know. Because your white hurt eyes so much now. There was, none of these tracks was laid on dynamic sound. But when him putting the studio together now, he was putting in one of the equipment them. So one day I gone there and hear them was working on Could You Be Love? And when I'm inside and listening the sounds, he was there. So later on, me and Tyrone and I think Family Man was there. I think Juna was there too. And the engineer. And the song was working on Could You Be Love? And then after a while, I saw him walking up. And as inside time, said, meditation. And then the song I play inside. And I said, how me sound, man? I said, great, man. You know, he must feel so rejoiced, happy to have this shooter now. Know that he could sit back and relax. Then in the longer run, I'm set why one day, you know, say, him all kind of come off of the road for a while and start producing you them more.
Okay.
You know, I think that is the time now, because I was coming up here at the time, coming to New York. He was leaving the Monday and I was leaving the Wednesday. And he said, well, he want to, I think that I could be in last tour for now. When he done that, he wants to stay in his children, he want to produce the youth, them, and thing. You know, that was him saying. So that's what I tell you every time I go to that studio up here, and I remember. Yeah, I didn't finish my question to you there.
Mm-hmm.
When we was there in the studio yard talking, there was a guy up there, they call him Juicy, that sell all type of soursop juice and all different type of juice, plum juice. And he would cook like rice and peas and ackee, selling the yard there. So, Bob did walk, there was a phone call and he went inside the building. So I walked down to Juicy, you know, and said, give me one of the ackee dinner. So while I'm sharing it now, Bob walk out now and saw him with it and said, what are you eat? He said, ackee and rice. Then he looked over the Juicy and said, give me one too. And believe me, the time the man go to him pocket, it's like, you ever see a bee's hive?
Mm-hmm.
The time he go to Juicy, you know. And it's like a bee's hive just come around, everybody stretching them out looking money there.
Wow, wow.
Now, when I tell you, say, this amazing, you know. So, he just says to some of the man, he says, all right, take the change. And then give this one, give that one, that one, so take the change. So while he was sitting on the mango tree now, and I eat now, so Bob, tell me something. You ever get an eye with the people, me say, all right, in my ghetto, every day people come to me for things. You know, and even sometimes me on the street, you find a man, why I beg you this, beg you that, beg you that. Have you ever get a night, like, your yard and not have so much people every day? So your yard filled with so much people every day, and them coming to you. How you feel about it? Him say, him laugh, you know, look by me and laugh. I said, boy, I prefer them inside them on the street, you know.
Wow.
So I welcome all of them, you know.
Wow.
He said, when they're up on the street, you know, every time they make two steps, a police not go and shot them down and them things, you know.
Wow.
And I feel good having them around me, man. Everything good, man. But that day, I look up on that man and said, boy, I'm different. I'm different, you know. Yeah. He said, this man is different, you know? Uh-huh. And we're talking about every day, when it comes Friday daytime, you see all 400 people line up every week looking money. And he was giving, like the baby mothers, them, like, say, you have 3 children and no father. You will get like $300-$400. You can't
wow.
imagine that.
Eh? Wow.
These are the things this man used to do, you know?
Wow. Hey, let's take a little short break and we're going to come right back. We're talking to the great Mr. Anser Creedland, the meditation. We are so, so happy to have you. We're going to go to the phones when we come back as well. Just let's talk a short musical break and we're going to give you a time to ask some questions. 661-467-2407. 661-467-2407. Make sure you press 1 on your telephone keypad so we can get to you. 661-467-2407. It's 9:31 p.m. on the eastern side of the globe, Mr. Anser Creedland.
Change has got to come now. people don't change, but the system will remain the same. I say, man, if the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. Oh, oh, oh. If the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. I say, man, if the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. Oh, oh, oh. They hold the lies we kept inside. Why no longer? Now we're forced to shed once more. I know violence may not be right, but sometimes we'll have to fight. And if you don't compromise, you're gonna put us down to size. No, 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 if people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. I say, man, if the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. Oh, oh, oh. If the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. I say, man, if the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. Oh, oh, oh. Hard to be a family when you don't financially, cause arguments about money can separate you from your life. I know the truth is not the truth, and it may affect the youth. I want to take a look inside. Know are you really satisfied? No, no, no. If the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. I say, man, if the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. Oh, oh, oh. If the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. I say, man, if the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. Ooh, yeah. Change has got to come, yeah. Change has got to come out. All the rage we kept inside, are no longer we can hide. And all the blood we shed before, now we're forced to shed once more. I know violence may not be right, but sometimes we have to fight. And if we don't compromise, you're gonna cut us down to size. If the people don't change, the system will remain the same. I say, man, if the people don't change, well, the system will remain the same. Oh, oh, oh. Change has got to come, yeah. Change has got to come, yeah. Same way all the time. Same way all the time. Same way all the time. This is the way we live all the time. Same way, all the time. Same way, all the time. It is the same way, all the time. Same way, all the time. Same way all the time. Same way all the time.
Yes, yes, the big man.
Yes, man, that song was written by my son, you know.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, one was written by my son, man. Beautiful song, you know.
man. Big up yourself. And as usual, me hear them song here, you know, you get inspired. But when you go to the street and you're in this universe, nobody know. Sometimes it seems like everybody dancing and nobody listening.
That's what's going on about people dancing. People are listening now.
Nobody not listening, nothing. Hey, just want to slip up. Why wouldn't Scratch take all of that $10,000, to get a new system from Bob? Why would he turn that down, though? He didn't want him to control.
Well, you know, I don't know the dispute between them.
Oh.
But,
Okay.
I didn't just say, no, I'm not, send the song. And he didn't send the song, you know. They never really sent it. You know, even the tune, even the song here where him having in Rainbow Country. Rainbow
yes.
Country. When that released, Bob don't know about it. That song released when Bob passed, you know.
Scratch
it up. Pauline, bring that song up here, come release.
Do you think he has a lot more songs that he has not released yet?
Well, you know, Scratch is a man. There's another thing worse than him, you know, that really don't come out. I don't know between. But, you know, who to sell?
Okay. Well, now, tell me a little bit. Let me go quickly to the phone lines here. Maybe pick up a call. Let me go to the phone line here. This person's been holding. 347, good evening. Oh, boy, this person have their radio on. 347, if you want to speak to us, you got to turn your radio down, and then you press 1 again if you want to talk. Tell us a little bit about Family Man, because when we talk about Family Man and Bob, a lot of people don't know the story. So give us a little overview of what you know.
Family Man, great, 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 great bass player.
Wow.
And Family Man is like, it was like Bob Hanmiegel, believe me. The bass line that Family Man really come up with between these sounds, you know, special Tyrone Downey too. Tyrone Downey, you know, he was the man that when Bob come with the song, he would find some different chords. You know, so for instance, Bob singing in A minor, he would find himself in some different diminished chords that, man, it amazed. This song, I was coming in the studio one day when I hear them working on "Oh My Trouble in the World," a song there. And Tyrone was playing some cards there that I was wondering, how we find these cards? All I could say, you know, man, Bob Marley did have some of the greatest musicians that ever exist in reggae. And the thing to us, it didn't just come like this, you know. You see, Bob was a different singer and him taking business, different from a lot of singers. You see, when Bob got to work to rehearse,
mm-hmm.
Bob would sing for 3 hours straight, nonstop.
Wow.
And the musicians, even when Bob not there, the musicians have to rehearse, like them have to go to work every day, like they're going 9 to 5. That's you see, practice become perfect. That is why the musician them was so great. Even if Bob not there, the musician would get up and go on to work and practice the songs them over and over. You know, that's why them become so great. Bob did have one of the greatest musicians along with him. That's why the music them was well put together.
Let me hear something now. Bob, you say that Family Man was Bob's handmiddle. How is it that Family Man is in this position if Bob was such an, if Family Man was such an integral part of Bob's music? Bob making it and Family Man not making it, and he was the fourth.
Oh, yeah, you see, people can say this and people can say that, but my little time that was there, and that word come to pass also now. I don't know if a lot of people might not know this, or you know, people might offend. Sometimes when you speak the truth, people are offended by the truth. And,
yes.
But the truth always be an offense, but well, it's not a sin or a shame. Truth is the truth. One of the time I was there, Bob just came off a tour, and Carly, which is the drummer,
mm-hmm.
you know, Family Man is not a man that talk. He's just a quiet man. And just, but his brother, Carly, you know, was our spoken man. He will come up and he will make a lot of noise. He's not a man that gonna just quiet like the rest. People not say nothing. And I remember one day I was just putting together. I see Carly came up and him said, Bob, what move? Come off a tour and we don't get no money. Here. What? But the money there. So Bob turned to him and said, well, man, look, me invest the money in this shooter, you know. The shooter is not for me alone, you know.
Wow.
It's for we. It's for we. And not for Bob. And for the wheelers. You know, name for me. And for the whole of we business this.
Hold on, answer. Okay, because let's kind of go. You say it's for the whalers. Who are the whalers?
No. Come back again. Come back. Get it straight. Bob said, look, enough for me. I for wheelers. Right? Well, I've gone to Bob, you know. Anybody sing and come along, everybody's just wheelers. That's what I see.
Okay.
Yeah, it never known me this or me that. Everybody are wheelers. What he was saying to them now, look, I don't want 2 days if anything happened down the road. A man I got to say, oh, me have this or uno no have nothing. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
That is where he was trying to explain to them that. It's true that for them. It's not for him alone. It's for them. It's for everybody.
But
right?
At the same time, him not have no documents, though. There is no documents.
Yes, that part, I don't know if you're getting that part. The part they have to leave it for them to understand that. But that is where I heard him say to them, to Cardi, look, invest the money. And I know for him, business alone, I for them, I for everybody. And know one few days down the road, if anything should happen, a man I go say, oh, him have everything and them no have nothing.
Wow.
Understand that? All right.
Wow.
Well, from this on out, when him gets sick and everything, you know, things change. Everything changed because no documents did not put down. So everything changed. Yeah. Well, I said, so that just to show people now, when you're doing business and when you are investment, you have investment in things, you have documents.
Mm-hmm.
Put aside and say.
How did Rita, what was Rita part of? You know, putting all of this to your knowledge together, was she, you know, part of...
No. It's not so she put it together, you know. Rita is the wife. And if you have an estate that have so much wealth in it, and you have children outside here, is the wife going to be the opposite of it, you know, because she named wife.
Yeah.
If you don't go, she named wife.
Yeah, but what I meant is that, was she in the day-to-day operation of the studio, or she was, you know, at home, and just when she's when they're going to be practicing, she came around. Was she there at the studio, the everyday activity, what's going on at the studio?
No, no, she was not the studio. It's only when recording she come to the studio. But you see what happened with she now? A lot of people can say this, and a lot of people can say this about Rita. But what Rita, the control that Rita has towards the whole thing, she deserves it. During those long time days, where was when Rita used to walk with records, selling down Orange Street, selling bad music to different stores. So she was part of the sewing from in the beginning. You know?
Oh.
She
was
there. See, so, you know, who else could be doing that? Who else would be really achieving that, you know, but she? That is her part there, because she's the mother, she's the wife, so she played that role. And she was there in the sewing part of it, in the struggling part of it, ups and downs, doing her, you know, doing what she can do to contribute to the music, you know. I remember when them have the records for Down Slide Pen Road, she was there. No one was there. So all the new lovers that came about and thing, you know, people make mistake in life, you know. But
the new lover. we're speaking to the great Mr. Anzig. You're making me laugh at nothing. Miss Susan Carrigan is going to be here next week. You know, you remember that beautiful voice there. She's going to be here next week, 8 to 11 p.m. Another chance to hear the history of reggae music right here on the Caribbean Radio Show. It's Dr. F, and it is 9:45 p.m. on the eastern side of the globe. Mr. Ansel, the meditation himself. Now, tell us a little bit about Black Hawk.
The Black Hawk shooter.
Yes.
Well, Black Hawk Studio is just a studio that when you go there, you see all kind of King Kong and everything paint all about in it, and you know that scratch, that, you know, that is what in project, you know. The man would call him science man and all kind of thing, but you know that is scratch.
But
it was just different from everyone.
But when you talk about thunder, which one?
Well, it's like you have a lightning or thunder. Did I hear it in the phone? I wonder whether.
Yeah, two times I heard it. When you talk about Bob Marley, who were really looking at these people, and when you're in Jamaica, you know, people can be so stressful when they come up and everybody want, and women and children and everybody want something. That has to be difficult. And I think probably when you talk about scratch, it's the same thing, because everybody converge at the studio and everybody wanting something. So if you use this kind of a tactic, ward off people from getting too close to him.
The difference now with Scratch now, with Bob. Bob and Wally for house, the people are different places, you know. The people money to start business all over, you know. Because one at a time, after time pass, we was there in the. Oh, you make him nice. You got me on the radio. Yeah. After one time when he passed there. Oh, man, this is a bank. I forgot what I'm saying.
Giving people
houses.
You're talking about in people houses and.
Yeah. One time after Bob passed. When Bob passed there. We was in the office with the lawyer, Diane Jackson. You know, one of my friends. And there was this man come up from nowhere. Say, Bob buy this land from the people them over a year ago or 2 years ago. And since them hear that Bob passed, the people them want to take back the land from the guy. But Bob buy the land and give this man to take care of the land.
Okay.
So I remember Diane asked this man, so wait, how long Bob buy this land? So I think him bring the documents them come show Diane. So Diane said, so what you been doing with the land for so long? He said, well, he must plant in food and it and everything. So Diane said to him, so then you imagine, you've been cultivating for 2 years and the man land. And you know, so he have some picnic up here, so you're not even bring 200 banana at this I am. You know? So if they never come now to take the land from you, you wouldn't bring the documents and come to me now. You know, so there's a lot of little place thing when by the other people all over, you know. That's how kind he was, you know.
Wow. Do you think that because after Bobby's his estate was in a real muck, but I mean, there is nothing, seems that there were no contract on his part with his people. But I guess with Chris and everybody else, of course, it seemed like they had contract. Do you think that Bob understood the business part and the contractual part of his business? And Well, I'm sure that he didn't think that he was going to pass at 30 and plus. So he didn't see any reason to have documents drawn up?
Well, my point of view, I think he was just looking at it as people, just living as one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never even know, separate, you have this or you have that or you have that. He was just living with oneness. You know, but in business now, when business, and because in past I never leave documents, that's why the government have to come in now to control the whole thing.
The estate, yeah.
You know, yeah. And so far at the time, the estate did not have enough money to control it at the time. So, what's his name, when him come up to it, Chris Blackwell come in and buy the estate. Because, you know, the government.
Well, he paid for the tax. He paid the taxes. Since he died interstate, he paid the taxes and all of the fees to get the estate back in his hand. So I guess more like neither paid the taxes rather than really buying it as such.
No. No. He paid. Like, he buy the estate.
Mm-hmm.
He bought the estate. When I say he bought it, like, the government have the right to do everything what they want with it now, you know.
Right, because it's like, a government property. So-called.
There are many children that was involved.
Right.
So the government put it on sale, which it was selling, to my knowledge at the time, for $150 million. So Chris come in and buy it. And in his contract with them, he would control it for 10 years. That means he will take back publishing money and everything to recoup back his thing. And then after 10 years, he will return back over everything to them.
That
but he will make... That
is
was his...
To the family.
But he recouped back his money in a 5 to 6 years, you know. Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he recouped back his money long time.
So what happened? Why wasn't the property, as per the document, went back to the family?
No, everything went back to the family.
Okay.
The only difference now, you're the only thing income we know when Rita came a court now for the car, what's the name, this company, and them last, them came say it was higher. Pay for hire, that's what you call it.
Mm-hmm. Pay for hire.
Know?
Hit album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Control is 5 album now, answer that. But some trick in it, man, you know, some trick come back here around here. And as I said, the bigger heads, them use them brain, you know, because some tricks tonight, because first thing, them big guys, them know what is publishing. And
yes,
they know everything. So you can just sell out everything and say you just sell a man the rights of everything. And you know the fools thing towards it, because it's not a matter, so you're just coming in the game. You're in the game a very long time, and you know everything about it. So some trick play parita with that now.
Wow.
That them own them 5 album there, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, what is side of the PR, where you want to call it.
And that's the biggest, that's the most expensive part of the property, and they got all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something. We know, we're talking about verbal contract, and there are people that probably can speak to that as well. Just like yourself and many other people who were told that, hey, the studio is for the people who are involved in the music. And because of that investment in the studio, a lot of them didn't get what they were supposed to get at the time, because he's just looking at this as a big studio, unified studio where everybody could come and do their music, so everybody would benefit. Now, and this is why I asked you about Ritter and all the other folks who are down. I don't see that there's anybody who would not say that Family Man and Curly was, when we talk about the sound, that was Bob Marley's sound, those guys.
Yeah.
Why is that a part of these estate? We do have the verbal agreement. Why is it that this guy, even if he didn't have the verbal agreement or the paper agreement, I mean, everybody knew what these guys did. Couldn't somebody have a conscience and say, you know what, they deserve a little something. We have a big pie. Let's give these guys something substantial as well. Why couldn't that have been?
No, hold on. Don't be wrong again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes it's to know. It's to really know. And the greatest thing sometimes in life is to know. It's not a matter for them didn't get money. They get money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They get money. Yeah. The musicians, all of them get money. Yeah. Some money that some of them get. But what really happened? After the business gone in this million business now, because the estate gone up in billions now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
To my understanding, like Family Man, maybe his manager, tell him that the business, Bob business is no longer millions, it's gone high on billions now.
Yeah.
So him can sue for him and his brother. So him sue for 60 million. Pounds, not dollars, you know, 60 million pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, so whatever go down, the day of court, whatever Rita said to the court, and there was, I guess he was telling the court that when Baba play football, them are the ones that arranging the songs, them and everything, and them was a wheelers. So Rita tell the court that it was only 3 wheelers. Funny wheelers and Peter. So what really come back from hand Family Man now?
Mm-hmm.
He went to them, and it seems like during that time is when Chris Blackwell is in control of the estate.
Okay.
He went there and him get a portion of money, which him signed for. And that paperwork that him signed, he can't contest any more money after that.
Okay.
So during the process, during the court, at that time, Chris Blackwell bring up that paperwork and give it to the judge. So when the judge look at it, like the judge will say, but mister, you sign here, you get like a portion of money and you sign that there's no contest, you can contest anything more. So why are we here contesting now? And you have already signed that. So that is where the mistake make. You know, sometimes it seems like him got here and him get the money and he never really read and see what the contract was saying, whatever him getting the money for.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And fine print come back, come haunt him. That's right. You see in this business, eh? We all make mistakes, you know, because when you're in the business coming up, because, so for instance, we never look upon reggae music as a business. We look upon it as just expressing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to sing and thing. We never really look upon it this way. But after a longer runnings in the business, that is where I want all the young singers them to understand, have knowledge about these things. Never you sign a contract without a lawyer. Here, what happened, if you're along with a company, and if you go to them for $200, make sure you have it signed, and somebody look about that $200 contract that they give you. Because this is what coming back haunt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, them know the business, and we never know the business, especially these record companies. This record company now, them used to have something in them laws and clause. Them still have it. Them use one word. And the one word, me, you don't know that word, is only a liar know what that word means.
Yes.
I forgot the name of it, you know. And when you sign to it a few years after, when you look, them own your works. Them own everything. The only thing you can get from them is like a royalty, but you cannot. You cannot get back your album from them again because it happened to me too.
Wow.
Yeah, this company, I don't know if I should call the name and the year, you know.
Well, if you're in a litigation with them, then, you know.
No, I'm not with them. I'm free to call them name. Yeah. I mean, I tell you, say, this is where I want all the people them look about. The young entertainers, them know, learn the business and know the business and know what you're getting into before you sign a paper. And you make a liar decide what is right for you or not. Because you will, in the longer run, you're going to feel it. Because I feel it myself. In 81, we used to go to Philadelphia and do concert regular. All over. And we would see this man come up to me and say, meditation, we like on the sound. And he always hand me a card and say, yeah, call me when you have a time. And it's been going on and, you know, I never really paid any mind. The guy would come now to our little quarters in Brooklyn there and sit in with me, eat and drink and talk and we feel so everything was right and happy. And we go back to Philadelphia and do a show again, and this man come to me again and give me a card. I'm saying, all right, I was about to go back to Jamaica now, and I said, oh, this man give me a card, I can give him a call. And I call him. He said, well, I want 10 songs from you, and I would like to call the song The Greatest Hit. The album. When I look at it, I say, well, the rest of the song I would have to find Bobby Daxon. Because Bobby Daxon is the producer for the majority of the song on the album. So finally we find Bobby Daxon and we went over there to Shanaki Record and we go in a detail, in a little meeting with them. So while one of them took her around the factory and was showing me around the factory and everything. I leave Davidax, man, Danny. It's one of the next meditation with her. I leave them looking through the whole contract with them books and them kind of thing now, while them showing me other things.
Mm-hmm.
So when I fired, Norm say, what happened? How the contract look? How everything look? Them say, yeah, man, everything is okay. So me just take a belly, look at it, and glimpse it, and you see, top story, say, yes, this album owned by the meditation, and blah, blah, whatever it is. So we go and then give me them little money, and we fly back to Jamaica. Well, I'm in Jamaica now. Come up here and we go tour California and them thing there. And everything we touch sold out. So one of the time we're in Los Angeles at the booking agent home. And one of them from the company called us and say, meditation, I can't believe it's just a month and we sold over 5,000 records. Mm-hmm. So that great, man. Now, you see, after that, I went back to Jamaica now, and I done a Jamaica for around, called around. We never come back here again until around 90. When you come forward here, and we go over there and I deal with them, and I find out what's going on. We say, you don't send me a, when you sign a contract, you know, them supposed to send you a statement every 6 months. But there was no statement sent to I because the reason for that, them was disappointed with. Them said them want us to do some rehearsal in Jamaica, come back with some sound like Shadow and Babylon Trap, the man Trick. But so happened that it didn't happen. So I don't know if them disappointed, so they must have decided not to hold on. I give them a song in Quiet Woman, and when I come, I was surprised to hear what them do. You must remember, you know, over 10 years, I have not seen a statement from them.
Wow!
I remember them have the album. It was album and cassette, and meditation was selling like rice grain. I'm telling you. Anyway. I came here now in 90, and a friend of mine that was soldier in Jamaica called me and living in Jersey so that he hear one of my songs, heard one of my songs in Eddie Murphy movie, Holy Man movie that is running from Jamaica. And I said, what? I said, you're sure? He said, yeah, man. So I go in the city and go ask for the movie and buy the movie and carry it home and play it. And I heard a song in it running from Jamaica. So I called my lawyer contact. So look how crooked them guy is now. Them, the contract states, you know, you cannot go into no agreement. There's no third party. No third party. Third party means is just me, I, and them. That means if you want to go in agreement with the album, you cannot go into it. You have to contact I before you can go into another agreement. Now, them going to this agreement and them give them the song to the movie and them collect their money and them didn't consult me about it. And them still did not send I no money. So when the lawyer called them now, them send part of the money to Heartbeat Record. Heartbeat Record send me my part of money. So the lawyer tell them that them have $14,000 that them supposed to send me. And them guys is a bug of crook, man. That's why I tell you. When you sign in contract, you have to have a lawyer to do it. If you don't have a lawyer, don't sign it, hold on for your goods. Because them guys, them know that what them doing. And because them know what them doing, and you don't know the business, you never know the technology of the business to answer that. Then a lot of, not me alone get that, go through that, you know, there's a lot of producers from way back who go in the same kind of problem. You sell out your rights and you don't know, because you don't know. You never go to school to go learn the laws the way them talk about in class. Eh? every liar have them claws with them when them learn and know, you know, there's a liar to everything. You know, so them know. So you have to have a liar to look about your business. Yeah.
But a lot of these young people coming up now, dear, here is what is happening. I think the door kind of swing the other way now. What I see happening is these guys now in Europe, they scout the internet every day. Here's it, because of course the music is putting out there free. They sit down and scout the internet for these talent. They hear a talent and they say, wow. Hey, man, I like how you sound. I'm going to send a beat to you for you to drop a rhythm. These guys who are really struggling hard and trying to make a name for themselves, hear that. Do you think none of these guys who don't have a next meal going to say, hey, man, I am not going to do anything with you, man, unless we get some paperwork? They're not going to do that. They don't have the money. Go get a lawyer. They're not wanting to go through any legal thing. You know, if they try to do that, then this person will say, hey, man, I'm not going to be signing a contract. It's either you do the music or you don't do the music. And what they do, they prey on this. And actually what happens, they're in Europe, the guy, whoever this artist in Jamaica, voiced the music, sent it back to them, And that's the last time some of them ever hear from them. So they have different way of stealing these people music. And I think they're even in a worse position, a lot of them. They're in a worse position. So and how do you really say to an up-and-coming Jamaican musician, when you're going to send $150, give him our $200 or $300, the person going to say, you know what, better me take $150 Jamaican dollars so I can buy something than sit here with this song and it not making anything.
Some of the things that them used to do, the Jamaicans, you know what them used to do? Them used to bring this contract to them. And when you sign it with them, without a lawyer, them tell you that they own your thing for life.
Yes.
Yeah. Woman, I go own your thing for life. You know, she's a criminal that. Is a criminal that? If I go tell you, say, I go own your thing for life. Is a criminal that? And because you know, never go with a lawyer to get your thing for the right, you know, challenge. You fall right now that, and then when you start really overstand what really are going on, you get miserable now, and then them say you're ignorant, you know, because you never know and them know, you know, but if you do the right thing for you, them not do it, they do the wrong thing for you.
Mm-hmm. But again, because we understand the nature of the beast here, none of the people who understand this are really imparting this to the younger musician anyway. So everybody is going to get hurt. And the person who is going to end up winning is these criminal people who are really taking advantage of this. We are not together as a people who understand that our product is in danger. We don't come together. We have these conversations, but we still don't come together. We know what the problem is, but we still don't come together. Everybody is still doing their individual thing, still trying to get ahead of the game. So this is going to continue. I don't see any end in sight for this.
I'm telling you, you see how the business set now? It's really hard for people to really, for especially younger generation now. Them just want to go out there, you know. That is it, you know. Them whole idea, you know, is just to be heard. They don't care about the consequence, you know. Them just want to be heard.
Yes.
You know, and them will do anything because, you know, them just want to come out of the ghetto. And the whole thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And when your name start to call, it's right for you to have a manager that looking over your business, whereas if you're a person that in demands. If you don't have a manager and have another manager over that manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all these things, them people are cooks, you know, when you come on to business, it always be a crooked thing, you know. See, so even your own liar, if you have an next liar over him.
Absolutely.
But you're not sure him I do the right thing neither. Because when them guys they come together and have them big meeting and thing, then just, give him a look at dollar and just shut him down and make him go on and them thing there. Like first time, then you so get, in the 80s, then you so give man, producer, you so give man care, you know. A man sing album and them thing there. You know, and then you know the value of it and know, say, you one song can buy all 20 of the car when I give you for drive, you know?
But you never get one car in your life. You be just get one car. But you have to know, you know, that if the man give a car and the car worth $50,000, you know he making 50 times, or 100 times, not really 100 times. Why?
Yes, you used to go on with them things, you know. You know what the man used to do now? In them time when they have the market, a man come now and him come decide and him give a man your album. And then get an advance with 10,000. All right, during the contract, you know, he only give him for the United States alone. And that means the man can release the album in England, you know. He only can, maybe he can just send it there, but he can release it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he can distribute it, but he can release it in England. Because he only have the contract for New York alone.
Okay.
All right. You go to England and you make another deal, you give another man give another 10,000. Right, for the album. All right. The man release it in England now. And he ship when one ship. You take it and you go to Japan and you license it over there so again. And whatever you may get another 10,000 again. See? All right, you move from Japan, you can go to Australia again. You're release it to Australia. So these are the things when you tell a man, when you write a contract, you tell a man, no third party. That
mm-hmm.
means if me a carrot come here, says just I and you. Now if John Brown wants it, John Brown has to come to I again, and we deal with a new contract. You know, this is how these guys used to do it, you know. When you license your thing with them, you know, them license with another company, you know. And then the another company can license it out again and it all around. So in the long run, it's you not getting nothing. Them getting everything. Them are recoup back the money where them give you and recoup from the next man and recoup. So only you leave not getting nothing.
Damn. Wow. and there's so much things that you can negotiate. But if you as an artist don't know what to negotiate within your contract, somebody giving you a contract, you have to negotiate the contract.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why you have to have a lawyer.
But who can work for them for free? Ansel, who can work for them for free? Nobody can work for them for free.
Well, that is it, you know. You have to have an agreement with you and the lawyer. And say, boy, yeah, you will give him a certain amount, you will give him a certain amount of percentage out of that before him really sign to it. Because if you can't pay him when the money comes, he might go take the whole of it because he might go say him time the night. Because even my album there, that with Shanaki, when I went to a lawyer, you know, you're the liar, I said to I. This liar tell her, I said, the reason for it, why me go down in a different position. And me have really come out of my pocket some money. Because when you sign a contract, you have 1 year to terminate the contract. But when you wait until another, you call it 10 years after or 5 years after, you know. The person have a better control of your business.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You stand up it can be a 50 and a 60 chances for you. Yeah.
Well,
I will be knowing the business, yeah.
I love
it. Will be knowing the business, I know. Yeah, man. Not to learn not the business, I know, because as me say, it's only the crooks, them know who involved in the business long time. Know what them was doing.
A big crooking businesses. And we listen, man, Mr. Medication Board, and so we're chat, we're going to get through some of your music, but I'm going to control you a little bit.
Yeah, enough music, yeah, man. Yeah, enough music they can't play, man, you know.
Yes, let me go go get a phone call, and then we play some music and talk about what's going on with you right now. Welcome into the Caribbean Radio Show. Who is this?
Good morning, my illustrious one, Dr. Ev.
Oh, and this is the big Mr.
The legendary Mr. Ansel. It's a great, great to hear such history and such eloquence of the business, you know, and I'm really elated and honored, you know.
Yeah, man, give thanks, man.
Yeah, I've learned a lot, you know, and I hope a lot of these young musicians is listening, you know, cause as an upcoming producer, as a producer and being around the Asians, and, you know, I really feel honored to know, say, that is the direction we're taking as a producer, you know, because you speak about the business in terms of where, even when the doctor, while ago said, who's going to pay the lawyer? But sometimes even a musical lawyer, if he look on a contract and see what an artist sign and know that his value, he can sign, he can engage in into a contingent agreement, you know, because he can see the profitability of the artist. And know, so yeah, I can help that artist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the medium where a lot of artists can. It's important, man. And I'm going to give thanks for the knowledge, because I learned a lot to even with Bob Marley, and you know. So I'm really honored, you know. Because today I work a lot of time on tours, you know, because I work at Black Uro and I see on the world stage, and, you know, but I never hear you speak in a interview like this, and I'm honored to listen to the knowledge station, the Caribbean radio show. But we're going to be learning this today, tonight,
man.
You know. We have to give thanks and big up Dr. Ev again.
Yeah, man, each one teach one, man, and I was glad to be here and see and learn a lot from it, you know, and advise a lot of young one and show a lot of young one things, you know. You know,
and
one
you speak of something very, very significant, because a producer in this modern time, you know, we know that was just a vinyl download and all these things, and the producer don't really recoup back his money sometimes with a lot of artists don't really know that.
No,
especially in this digital age, you know?
That is now done with it now. You know, make nothing a fight again. They download things, you're not making nothing, because them iTunes, the iTunes where them put up your thing fan. Them I tell you how much them want, you know, half of it. And when you really look into it, and when them give you, is that joke, you can have a peer that can have a peer to press the record where I will get half of it. You know, so the whole thing becoming like a joke right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working out for we, man. If it's working out for the other people, it's not working out for reggae music. Because I want to right now a reggae Jamaican artist come to me and show me 10,000 saying get off of iTunes. I would like to see him show me that.
Mm.
Because I've been inquiring at the business all over. And the whole thing. All right, so for instance now. When you do album first time, I used to give a shop one. If I give me wholesale, I will give him then, say, $8 or $9. And I'm going to sell that album for $18 or $20, right? That a theme, whatever I make off of it now, right? And a man, I go tell you, how much man I go download? How much man I go download and give you 90 cents there right now? You have to get a million people to do that, you know. And I want to show you a thing now. If you go up on the computer and you download now, you check how much school friend they are around now. And once you download that thing and you have it and you play it to your friend, it's only going to be a popularity, you know, but it's not money coming out of your pocket, you know. Because Say, for instance,
yeah,
that man download it now and he have 10 friends. I'm 10 friends now. I go have that same copy when he download it. You know? So
yes, free, definitely.
Of,
right.
What you going to get off
right.
of it? Eh? Mm. Yeah, man, they must
have a digital site, and a digital distribution deal. Someone will give you 70%.
Yeah,
that's the maximum what you can get. But you're right, you know, because you have to say, really sell a million units or X amount of units
yeah,
to really can recoup.
You're not
spending
making
them
it.
Today, you know?
Not making it. It looks like, it seemed to me like it's just a handset where them guys come together and say, look, we have to do a certain thing, you know, to get them out. Because our music was threatened to the world, you know. I wanted to really acknowledge that. Our music was threatened to the world.
Yes.
See?
It's
the world. Our music threatened to the
and
world.
And it still does, because you said something earlier in your aforementioned about even Johnny Nash come to Bob Marley songs, and that
yeah.
is very significant, because Bob Marley was saying that it takes foreigner to come
yeah.
and invest in our music rather than our own
yeah.
people.
Our
and
them
people want us to even do it neither.
Way.
You know, so that's why even when you say Bob Marley said we have to have a own studio, that
yeah,
never would have been started at that and then say we have to have our own studio because they want to give a man who come from foreign and invest 15,000 for our album, it will sell a million. Whereas
yeah.
our people don't want you to do it. So the transition really is a prophetic reason where I are really explained today to Babsy, and it's really opened my eyes clearly every day. For
right.
now, so it's really true.
Hold on. I you know, from when them really start look for reggae music or dangerous reggae music is unthreatened for them thing. Let me show you this now. It's when Baba go to the peace camp. I mean the show at Commodores.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You remember that show then?
Uh huh.
Well, I was at, well, me a little youth them time then. I'm learn, right. about it, but I was at five
right.
then, you know.
All right. When Baba go do the show with Commodores, we do a SSOs, we and Bob. And Bob has some friend there, a little old sound. And I said, Bob, what you talk about? You can't go open for Commodores.
Mm.
You talk about, you alone can't fully get out. You know what Bob said? Yeah, Bob to them now. This is what I want a long time because the hardest place for our music bus is in America.
Yes,
in,
sir.
You know, America, the hardest place for our music bus right now. And you see, with our crowd and the American crowd, it will bring the two music together,
exactly.
bring the two people together. And it happened. You don't see it happen. Eh?
Yes, sir.
You don't see it happen, aye. You don't see it.
Yeah, man.
What's the
yeah, because we have a very
be...
significant answer because one time foreigner used to really look to come combine with reggae music instead of
yeah.
like now. I might look like a we have to actually collaborate with them to get big.
With them?
Yeah.
Which was the other way around.
All right.
You know, because everybody
wants
the reggae and be a part of this reggae movement, you know?
Yeah. All right. Me the pan reggae and the rock last year. Me and Steel Pulse. Reggae and the rock keep in a Denver there. Colorado.
Oh, Denver, Colorado.
Yeah. All right. You see, when I look on the stage coming out, I see a white man coming out come and play reggae, you know. And if you look, you may see a one black man in it. But the rest I see a white man. See? You know, look on that. Up here, all right. We go Vermont one day. Me and Sydney Mills, them and one you there. And when I man up there and look on the field, when we are driving inside, we hear some music up play. And we was shocked. When I walk through the place and go to the front, I look up here, white man, I play the music.
No,
right.
man, you're right, man. Well,
music,
2 weeks, I can't straighten that. 2 weeks ago, I do a show, Vermont Reggae Festival, and it's a white band.
Yeah.
It's a white band back, my female artist, and trust me, them play the reggae them even better than him, not for the Jamaican them. Especially the no Jamaican artists, not the, you don't know the legend them, keep the history, but these young youth, They're not playing the music. They're not learning the music. So you're right.
You know what they might do again? And these are the things now where even some of the younger generation I do where I help destroy the music again. Because every man, no man not really want plant, you know. A man just want to reap. Mm-hmm. Guys, look how it's going out to reggae music now. You know, we are going to a foreign country now. A one and few band going in Europe now, go tour and bring them band with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have some big entertainer Jamaica now. You know, them are, you know, them are just a fly go over Europe and use a band over there, then use tracks. And that, you know, because a man I look at us a boy and say, then bring a band with him. If he might get $2,000 in his pocket, $2,000 go in his pocket, he not go pay no musician or anything. So he just put some tracks on it and go stand up and sing. Them thing, and then when the white man go over there, so now the white man will bring everybody with him to play music.
Everybody.
So man. Eh?
Well, my illustrious one, she complains all the time about the music being taken away from Jamaica by Europeans and white people, and sometimes I don't know, a lot of us fail to realize it's the truth. If you look at a major festival, in Scandinavia right now, you have a festival, and I think there's only one Jamaican artist, and it's Vegas.
Yeah.
Reggae and the River.
Yes.
I mean, German Reggae Fest, the Summer Jam. Snoop Dogg is the headline act there, and Alba Rose and Gentleman.
Yes.
Well,
I'm
going to play on Reggae on the River. August coming. I'm playing on Reggae on the River and I'm playing on the Monterey Festival coming on August. You know, I don't know the lineup for it yet. I don't see it. But, you know, but these are the things I'm seeing going on right now. It's a record. There's a press that I use a press record in United. Record, United Artists or United Nations in Tennessee. And this man wants a record to come out very soon. A song that me and Ranking Joe and some other people do for him. And when he sent to get the record press, he said he can't get no press until 8 weeks' time. The man was surprised. The man was surprised. The man said to him, so wait, 8 weeks' time. Then where are press, sir? Then don't vinyl stop. The man said, no. All the press them coming from Europe.
You
have 100 records of press from Europe and in America. Yeah. No press coming from Jamaica. Jamaica stop.
Yeah, because Jamaica locked down all the pressing plants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tell out all pressing plants. That's why I'm a little bit disturbed with Bobby them. Because, okay, so, and I say, them not suffering. Because each month, each one of them get $80,000. Right? And okay, go. Them should have that place living. That's how them father died for, you know. Them father died to keep a steward of himself. And that himself is a meditation. All I man want is to own my own steward. Them should have more should have not gone at it. No care where I go on. Them should have been the one where I press them records, thing, you know, fella. Them guide because them guide them know them are there, you know. Everybody should have look up on the mall is there right now at Jamaica, pressing record and have things moving. You shouldn't be no shutting down any business there right now. Because that them father said them did want, you know. And when they are looking at Jamaica, they know all them guys there. Look, me remember in my days, Mr. Byron Lee, little pity them. A little boy, them just a run. Neville, little pity them. I run. I jump on all the desks with them little school bag. When they come from school, I even time, I play and all them things there. I know a few years' time, and then you let me see that when we go to the press record, and then you there manage, and then you there the boss, now, you know. And
yeah, man, basically, and godly, man.
Yeah, man, and then you that we have to look up on.
Real, man, and you learn the business, you go there, right? You have to talk to Jason.
Yeah, man, want to we the black people? What we deal with? Oh, no, what people?
Well, disappointed. It's a disappointment and distasteful more time, elder. That more time, he must have record producer sometimes.
You know, Because you know what going again? Here what now? It's enough for the elders, them the children, them coming at the business. Even them women, you know, them never involved in the business, you know. Them never involved in the business. So that means if a man pass, when them pass,
it done.
The wife and some of the children, them two, them never involved. Like, them don't know what to do more and just sell it out.
Yeah.
You realize? Look at another man like
that. That is a very significant thing, because King Tubby is an example to that.
Look at King Tubby's now. We carry such a name now. Eh? When the day the bread come out of him, whatever them do to him and taking life, yeah? The first thing them do, them sell out everything to King Tubby's, because them don't know, because them children or them wife never take part during the time.
Sure.
See? That is where we go wrong with, you know. Look for the Chinese man now. Then look at Chinese man store where you go, whether them Korean and where they want to be. Look where them do. When you go in, you see them copy, you know. And two, give them another 2 years' time. And them, I run it, you know. And them got another one up the road and again. And them picnic. Our children, them are the only ones that know involved in our business. Neither if you have a woman,
they're
not involved. Answer. Like, yeah.
Then look pon Randy's them VP record. A lot of time a man will say, boy, VP them this and VP them that. But over the years, I don't see the youth, we don't even see the group a body of musician or record people come together and create another entity like VP.
All right. Look for me no VP. Me no VP. Me talk about Randy's.
That's a Mr. Randy's record. You know what I'm saying?
When I come in at the business, see? Coming out of the business, you know, me run from me I run up and down before me start recording. Me I run up and down. Me Al Campbell. We are talking about from 67. We are run up and down and I go all different places and I run this. Then we are run up on a parade there, you know, where we are go to. When me start my first tune, when me start sell, I run this. Then I sell it, you know, and Chris a little bit of boy then time there. See? The one we used to run it is Clive. Clive was a bigger one, you know. We used to run Randy's and Miss Pat, you know. And the whole of them, and they move and come up here. And when we come to this country, and we come see Chris, I do mastering, you know. I do mastering. And look there. At least at them control them business. Okay, so
yeah, because everybody cuss and nobody set up the institutionalized the thing. And when at them at that for real,
look what big company you have at Jamaica. Look, you have Harry G. You don't even know if you have Chica Child. In past, what did it? When past, you know, it's true. They must have got that thing. I sell them now. See, you have who you so do not record in the business again. You have Rupi Edward. You'd have JJ. JJ is a man who will start out with Ethiopians and Kingstonians, Silver Tones. Me sing for him too in the 70, in the 1772. Me don't know a man's story for JJ. When the man they pass, the man used to have Al Carl Dark in tune, you know. Baby, I love you, but you're going away. We are talking about them. When the man they pass, you know, man, I control the man, the thing. Because the parents, them never involved. And that we see a man, you know, the parents, them not involved. When you have a man, when you have a woman, and you have a woman with children, see, whatever you are doing, them supposed to take part of it. That's the only way your thing will go through, you know, and continue, you know. Them have to take a part of it. Just learn from the Chinese man, them, and see what them are doing. Look what them do, you know. And look how we involved in this and we bring it and all our children and all our people and everybody now. All the man, the elder man them now who have the opportunity to own a student and all them things there. You leave it up and all and them kind of way. That's what I'm saying. Mali children them should have put more in the business down there and have the business that run. Because them father die and left that for them. See? When them father die, they don't want that, you know. They don't want federal, you know. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then the
one for the as I said, I learn a lot of things, you know, because you don't know, we are youth. When Bob dead, we are just 30, 14 year old, you know, so, you know, I know the history.
When Bob passed, Bob only have up a hoop word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see that song where Bob right there? I got tired for some me face. You know that song they come about?
And they won't get rid of him from Hope Road there because no Rasta them.
When him there on Hope Road.
Yeah, I remember.
The next story that we call them societies them.
Yes.
Them used to write Michael Manley. And mm-hmm. I call him and I say, but you Michael did like Bob, you know. And say, Bob was a man, this, that. Michael then appeared in mind with it. Them used to write Michael and tell Michael, say, boy, this mm-hmm. is a residential here and appear weed smoking a compound over there, so, and nice and all them kind of thing there. So
yep.
Bob said, them got tired to see me face.
Yep.
Right? And can't get him out of the race. And what? Him got turn up in disco. You know? to a match.
Blow them full of us tonight.
Yeah. You know? Him got disturb his neighbor. See?
Mm-hmm.
So, just look how the man they really stand up. And when him pass, federal run from Jamaica, you know, them run from Jamaica, you know, then time, you know. Because, as can to them, you know, they said Jamaica become communist. Communist and them things. So, the whole of them guys, you know, pack up and run. And when them are run now, I saw Rita, you say, federal are sell, you know. And she said, boy, this would be a better place to carry the business down there. So, as she buy it, you know, when Bob alive, Bob don't know nothing about that. And when Bob pass, we can buy that down there. You know. Yeah, man.
I was thinking, like, you're talking about really being in the business, and it would have been so good if the Marley family come together on a business level. But, you know, there are people who are involved in the family who would not probably are keeping them, although it's seemingly that they're together, but they're probably separate and apart from
each other. They will have them up and cooks, man. That's what I tell you. You see, I'm a liar there. You see, because I've never leave all a will. You know, say all one liar get all 3 million out of it and them kind of thing there. I pay cooks. And me never like how the business are run neither, because when you know, it never run as a business level, and you know, you have too much boss and too much heavy little thing, you know. It you know, the way me think said the thing I go run and keep, you know. So me that prefer no say that's for me I spend my money at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But still the business become since Bob not around. And everything there. Everything changed, you know. Everything changed in the yard. And I want to tell you, too, from the depth, from back past, reggae music, take a deep seat again. You know, the consciousness gone. Not there anymore again. All the sisters, them were used to down there. When you see the sisters, them, the way them used to flex and move and bridge and all everything there. Everybody know, cut off here, everybody. You see, I have some sister, you're not even know what say them. They have some fat now, each up under them bottom. Everybody, you know, nobody not listen anymore.
Well, we give thanks to a man like the eye where exists. We give thanks, me personally, give thanks to you know someone can hear a man like the eye where have such eloquence and such knowledge at the business. Right? You know, it even educates me more on my knowledge of me today. And so it's a pleasure for listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say, Dr. Ev. To this platform.
Yeah, man.
We can hear great wisdom and knowledge, you know. And just want to say, if you keep up the work from Elder, man, you know, because Zanadu is a man that always talk about the eye, you know.
Yeah, man.
Zanadu ever talk about the eye, man. So, you know, so we know
true,
the eye is a, yeah, man. And because you know, we can hear the eye voice in person and, you know, can share
yeah,
the
man.
Love and the respect and thing, you know.
That's why I go to it, man. I always have youth and youth around me, you know, and teach youth and youth and show youth and youth. I'm a man from ever since help. It's a helping thing, you know, from day one, you know. Sorry that, man.
Wow. Well, man, oh, man. This is why I say, Ansel, we have to get voices like you here. We have Mightiful 13, an upcoming producer. And if we can sit down and have these kind of dialogue that we all can learn from each other, you have a legacy to pass on, too. A lot of people believe that is only the guy on the stage with the big mic, sometimes with the big name. Can teach, but everybody has a part to play in this. We were talking about Lee, and a lot of people don't know what you just told us, how great a pioneer this man was. A lot of people remember Lee and call him crazy. Nobody's coming out and say, boy, the great work that he has done with Bob Marley, or the great, you know, how he put about the sound that he created. So we have to get people like you who are in the background, who were there at the inception, to bring forth this to the forefront. and so we can have the real truth, the truth. And we have some kind of a place to know that our music is coming from great people. I mean, we're talking about the sweat that was put into it, the creativity that was going to it, and we should cherish that and build upon that rather than dilute this.
Yeah, that's why I really disturb now when I really hear the type of music that's coming out. So give thanks to Beresom and keep him thing going. And, you know, one at a time, I was at some meeting. I hear some people talking. You see, that's where their mind was, you know. Their mind, they're talking about the money. I agree. Investment mean money and business. But you must look on the other part of it. What keeping the business going, you know? The business have to deal with love, you know. It have to deal. When you do anything, you have to deal with love and consciousness amongst the people in that you really, you know, I do business with. You know, that's the only way the business go on. But if you look now, if you just think about the money and not think about the people, you know, that's not right. You know, you have to think about the people, say, boy, they have to put food on them tables and everything. You know where the mistrust come from between Jamaica and long time and some of the entertainers then? Because how it really start, you know, some of the producer them from the early part. You as a singer would go to them and remember them take their money again, you know, and invest in you. Right? See, a man take up their money and invest in you, not easy. But a man invest in you and say, all right, spending money for you to go out there and go do what you have to do. The other part of it now, the producer them know. Like them used to send the song, like in England, and they make them deal. Yeah. They leave England and then come to New York and make another deal. And then go to Europe and make another deal again. So when them come to Jamaica now, you see, them are driving them Chris car now. And you know, a man has said, wait, oh, you have a big tune and you can't ride a bicycle. That was a mistrust between the producer and the singers and family at the early part, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, Bob talk about that too, you know.
Yeah.
Bob is a man to talk about that. That's why the producer, them have to start getting. As I said, making the deal, because someone make a record deal, but sometimes they sell all the artists publishing to and get different money.
And this is where the artists never know about, you know. Because all record company used to move, you know, and they still do it. When you used to say a record company are gonna take you, if they're not getting the publishing, they're not taking your album because the publishing is where the money is. They're not taking your album, and none of these singers now in the early part, no, they used to just do them album and them thing they know, and they don't know nothing about publishing and them thing they, you know. So the producer used to take the money they know. And come back on the artist again, sing another album again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you always in the dark. You know? So other mistrust that go on happen between the singers and the producer. You know? Why you say the business get out of hand, and one of the things now we really mash up the business again. You see, in Jamaica, in them time, you as a disc jockey, you couldn't allow to sing a song, you know. That's why Jeff Dixon didn't have a problem with RGR, them, you know.
Oh.
When you're a disc jockey, you're not allowed to sing. And nowadays, a lot of disc jockey now are produce song now, and I sing too, and I put out song. So that is where it goes, you know. And the business now is not like when WLIB used to chart song. You used to send your song to WLIB and them notice it or play it, see if it purpose to play it on the radio or anything. It's different time now. You have lack of these little man. Some of them are the little station now where them just hook up and thing now. And a man give them a little money now. So the whole thing is a pay thing now. A man give them a little money now, and a man just a play when he want to play now. And on almost restriction. And if a man do buy a program time now, he run up and down now for look a little money. To get as much commercial when he can get now. So them are too busy with the music again. You know. They are too busy with it again. More and so again. Because, you know, them are do other things now. So everybody... I mean, by the music, what bring them out, you know. And the music make people go off them, you know. And then after a while, you know, them put the music behind, you know, because them have other thing and go. Yeah, a whole heap of thing, man. And I tried the game for a very long, long time. You used to walk from 3 miles to jungle.
Wow.
Walk off a pair of shoes, you know. It's only Al Campbell and him, man, you know our struggling where we used to go through in the ghetto. Thing where we face on a daily basis, you know. You see, I have some guy, you know, take our misery. Our misery become them happiness, you know, because them achieve for our misery. It hard sometimes, you know, the kind of work where you put on and a man sit back and a reap and fight. Because when you get wise in the business and you start, you know, a man no want to deal with you, know, because, you know, this man of federal tell me one time, when federal, the people that did own federal was, you know, which name Tough Gang now. You know them said to I one time, look, I know so you're supposed to get 10 cents off of your song, you know. But me now I'll give you 10 cents. I'll give you 5 cents. I know for that. When you refuse that 10 cents, you know, you have 5 or 10 man out there glad to take the 5 cents, you know. And at that, at the business, at such, you know, in a life, you know. See,
yeah, you not understand that, you know.
And if man don't turn, and then it diminish the business now and cheap out the business now, because just like we are going, you know, no for the man, you know, now I can't musician with them for the show, them I can't tracks. See? I can't tracks now, go sing, man. So that's the part right now. A man just a think on himself and it's a boy. It does get away, you know, so boy, me have to leave just and leave that. But while the other guy, them now, who come in at the business, going to take over the business now. And then, for them name big up there. I bring them big orchestra around them and them kind of thing there. So why our thing can't shine? So why our people pack down our thing now? And those who have the facility and the money for really run the business now. I play out the business now. Everybody, some gone Hollywood, some gone this or some gone. You know? Oh, man. Yeah, we just disappointing.
All things will control the business forward, Ella, because the question
that we know. We don't say it up now, you know, because, you know, we are going now as, you as a man in the business too. And I am a man with tour the world. And as far as me, you know, it's enough of the reggae place them now. It closed, you know. It closed to we, the hardcore reggae people, you know. You know what it happened to? And look at white college youth, them now, who have them look at band thing I go around with, you know. And them it happened to, you know. Yeah. I know what the thing I go on in the business where me acknowledge, you know. Now, you know, because me have some some promoter where me and them a deal. What was we me a talk to them? You hear what them say now? Them prefer put the dancehall crowd no more than the Rastaman crowd, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this now. Them say, boy, when the dancehall crowd come at them venue, you know. Dancehall crowd buy all 2 boxes of beer. One man buy 2 boxes of beer and put on foot. And everybody jump up and go on. But when the Rastaman come in now, team crowd only buy 1 beer and stand up the whole night with it. So he not get to sell enough beer. Then reality me I tell you, you know. Reality me I tell you, man. You know? You serve a place in Seattle, Washington. But look, that place is a whole 1,000 people, you know. When you go to that place is pack, 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 pack. And it was a small little place, you know. And the man always said to me, say, boy, I'm going to make the place bigger. I'm going to make it bigger. And the man finally make the place come big, you know, to well, 1,000 people, you know. And, you know what the man got to know? The man got to start putting pop in right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the first pop crowd him put in, you know, they make one big fight and shoot a man one night. They stab up a man. And police come down and lock it down for a while. And then they open it back. Reggae crowd got through, everything got through nice, and I put back the pop in there again. One big fight and shoot one man and kill him in there. And that it locked down forever, you know. Yes, I. So.
Rastaman music never create no violence, man.
Never create no violence, you know.
Yes,
you know, I just joy and happiness between it. Yeah, man.
So
a lot of fear at this time, you know. Lot in the business, man. Exploitation and all kind of thing.
All right,
the time when Beanie Man them have them thing going on and it's gay thing take over this business and one them talk about gay and them thing there. I man I go to a show in college in what you call it there. Iowa City. And when we go for the sound check and I come back forward. We see Challenge 7 news out there and we see full of police. So I wonder what going out there and look. The principal call and tell all the parents them don't send them children to the school because we are some Rasta people who preach hatred, kill gay and kill lesbian. Yeah, I will it one, but you know, as I said, the choosing one, you know, and not in a life no easy. So if you come on, you have to do a thing, you have to just continue to do it. Yeah. So you go, no kill, because you always are going to have obstacles in another way. Kill your fight, or you go on.
We look and we know where the problem is. I mean, we definitely see, we don't need glasses, we don't need to go do no balance sheet to see that we're in deficit here. I mean, you talk about going through some of these. I was in Europe just last year, just about now, and I went to 2 concerts. One was a ska concert, a 3-day ska concert, and as I said before, blindfold me, and I'm saying, oh my God, these people are beyond good. Unblindfold me, all Caucasian people, 3 solid days, not one black person. There was a five day festival too. I mean, everybody on that platform, you could not tell if you were blindfolding that this was not in the heart of Jamaica. And much better that to me, I love some of the music was better. No Jamaican was on there. And I talk about that all the time because I don't think we understand really what's going on. And it's not a matter that I am saying that white people is taking over the music. This is music. Everybody should have it. Everybody should sing it. But there is something that we are not doing that is causing us to be, I mean, kicking ourselves out of the marketplace. And all we do is sit and we talk and we whine and we whine and see if we're not coming up with a solution. Reggae music is the ambassador that goes, when you talk about a true ambassador for Jamaica, is every single musician, whether it be good or bad, that comes out of Jamaica. People hear the reggae music, and then they come for the sea and the sun and whatever else they come, the woman and everything else comes after. It is not the sea and the sun first and reggae music. It is reggae music first, by default, bring Jamaica the greatest of our wealth right now. And if we are losing that, if we are losing the traction there, because a lot of us now are living in foreign country and we think about our individualism, and we don't think about the collective framework anymore, then what is going to be left for our children? I've said this many times. We now have Jamaica reggae, Hawaiian reggae, French reggae, German reggae. The minute you start to dissect music like that, it is one reggae music. Period. Mm. It is German or Italian or Japan. Once you start doing the Jamaican, the Japanese reggae, the business is gone. And pretty soon, and I hope I am wrong, I hope I'm wrong, pretty soon, 20 years from now, you do not know that reggae came out of Jamaica, just like we don't know that R&B pop music came out of Jamaica too. Nobody writes
if
that.
If we don't wake up right now, if we don't wake up and take back stand right now and start do back what we know from in the creation and start this pop business, now we're going to lose it, because the music where we run from, and that is the music where Europe are playing right now and I put out. See, that are where we are playing. We're going fast and all. We say we are doing hip hop. And now we are the racers running. You know?
Well, listen, Doc, we have to give thanks to the Caribbean Radio Show and the archives, because this can be documented, you know, so answers I'm on the Caribbean Radio Show as a historian. I have the reggaeton, I have Latin reggae, and you're right. If this is what you want to stop that, so it's not gonna say it come from Australia, where that's our gift thanks to the Caribbean Radio Show to preserve and archive this history today. To know a man like Anthony can give this history. It's truth. The next 15 years, if you ask a youth, it's just like Michael Jackson. The next 20 years, he's going to be a white, a man can't say Michael Jackson is a white artist. He's not a black artist.
Mm.
You know, I can't sell that way.
When Michael
you're right, that's your perfect right.
Here is the other thing, guy. Here is a clincher. Ansel did mention it. We have Pro Tool and all of them. We don't have any musician out here, upcoming young musician, playing drums, playing guitar, playing that reggae music, because everybody turned to the Pro Tool. So we don't have musicians coming back after us. Europe, these kids from there are baby in college. They're playing reggae music. They know how to do it. But we don't have the same thing in Jamaica, because these guys.
The friend son, when you go in Jamaica, and you go to a shop, up there, then everything has stored for them. And you go there and you buy a pound of flour and you buy half pound of shellfish and whatever, port and tile and everything there. A man just look at it and a man say, oh, that $5. Right? Then me a youth, you know. You're not store and you buy anything. If them not up on the computer, they don't know. And them checking thing, you know, them can't use them and tell you again, you know.
No.
Everything at the machine do it for them, you know. Them not think again anymore. See? Everything is machine do it for them.
Well, that's the human robot, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, just human like robot, you know?
Yeah, well, let me have a
sister
talk, Let me have a sister talk, buddy, you know, say. A lot of people just eating and drinking, and you know, really take heed of where you eat and drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in a Jamaica, a man born come see fowl, lay, hatch them egg, and then them sit on them egg and see if how many days and then the chicken come out. All right. Nowadays, now you see machine born chicken now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when the machine born the chicken now, the chicken born today and next week they're ready to eat. And them bigger like a cow. See? So you tell me now, which part machine get blood from? You know, see what I go on there, man? Where machine to get blood from to put in a fowl? To put to give flesh and bone? A machine that, you know. So when all them man, you know, them chicken business with them people they eat up and all them kind of thing. And them thing that them people have a concern about is a sickness we are going over the world. Because
mm-hmm.
them, you know, earth populate more than first time, you know. Earth like one time, you know. You have more people more than first time now. So that's why them are trying to get rid of some and to control. But who then can get rid of them, get rid of who then can control and control. See, that's why they come with all kind of different things every year, you know. So, boy, earth I get populated and they want to control you and they want to do this and they want to do that. And come with all that kind of thing to frighten me, you know. When I think it's one of the greatest things they ever put in a hate thing, you know. And then the people still are get pity and all them kind of thing there. So the population of them are try cut down. So these are the things where we have to really check up on, you know, what we eating, what we drinking, and everything you see on the shelf you must run go buy and them kind of thing there. So, you know, only if I go
that's
on
why reggae music. That's why reggae was supporting, because reggae music and the conscious of the item and them things. The item you used to highlight through the music, you know, the way how to eat how we grow,
yeah,
we eat, and you know what I say?
Look how long
the consciousness.
Well, look how long Rastaman, I tell people about meat, eating meat and how dangerous it can do to the body. And people always laugh. Me have had some man used to laugh. I said, go on the ambush. This, that. But yet, the same bush, you know, I call with them, I eat, get fat off, you know. The same bush. Look when a dog want to, when a dog want to wash out, you know, I'm going to tell you, you go eat grass.
Mm-hmm.
And wash out himself.
Mm-hmm.
See? So then thing you have to acknowledge in a life, man, and say, and life is just not all you see. You know, and Rastaman, I tell people about this eating, I think, long time. And look, we come acknowledge it. Me frightened nowadays when you go to California and them places, you know, everybody are vegetarians now, you know.
Everybody
are vegetarians. Everybody. What? A 6 million.
The music educate them.
You know? A 6 million cow England killed, you know. One time about cow mad disease and over here, you know. When I tell them get all Oprah in Valley Night, you know, that when she lick out son pan the same thing, you know. Because you see, a man now look pan health, you know, a man just a look pan when money can be, you know. And how much money can gain, you know. If now look pan the next man health, you know, so I'm not care. No care where man give you. Remember one time a coronation market, when coconut oil, after them come down, they come destroy the coconut tree, them. Claim to them, them a kill ganja tree and kill the fruit tree, them a yard. And I get rush on a yard. Remember one time, you know, some youth on a coronation market put some diesel light and something and sell.
Wow.
And kill out the whole 100 family, you know. Yeah, man, same. I cook in Ireland, make the people and go and cook the island thing and kill out the people and family. You know? Let me assure you, a man, you have some people up on earth, man. They no care about me and you, you know, as long as them dollars. And as so you find evil upon earth. When you try now to stop them dollars, try to educate people, as so them, you become enemies to them, you know. reggae music bring out all of them truth here to people and show people everything.
But even the one who carry the message, the people them who need the message, them is the hardest fight, you know, Ansel, because you're trying educating and them a fight against you and you try help them. So sometimes you as a messenger, you have to be so careful of them. And as I say, all our heroes, them get killed. The other man kill them, but we eventually kill them. And we do a good, especially nowadays, we have the machinery to do a good job without anybody there. They don't have to tell us anything anymore. As you were talking about the food, in our food, I talk on my program all the while. When I can remember my farm as a 3-year-old kid, I remember it so vividly. My pepper, my little callaloo, my little sweet potato, remember my farm. I can see it standing in there. There is no time I don't have a plant or something to eat that I plant. Not everything, because I live in a place where you can't plant everything. But you must at least have one piece of something. You must teach your children to plant and see how even a pepper or a tomato grow. And once
in a foreign country, you know, it's hard for the children to plant, you know. It's hard for them plant because you have to have your own place and live some fireplace out where you know, say, you have a big property where you can plant and show them. But in all them concrete jungle, you have to right now.
You know what I saw the other day? That's not true, you know. Because you know what? We going better have to plant because Modesta are controlled seed. They might genetically modify seed. You buy plant that don't have no seed in it, that once you buy it and you get it, you eat it, and my father usually say, boy, I want to catch the breed of this orange. I want to catch the breed of this. And he always tell us to have a little jar with seed put down. You must have a jar with seed put down. Always, because you don't know whatever can happen.
Don't eat the seed, because you have a kid to breed.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, you prize seed. You prize seed going up. You them. No, if you don't have control of food, as the man is controlling all of the food, he determines who is going to live or die. So, if going to be able to plant it, you have to find a way to plant in your concrete jungle. I was watching TED the other day, and I hope a lot of people who are listening who must not watch TED, because we have to turn off music a little bit of time. Noisy. To think about what's going on in the rest of the world, how the rest of the world is doing. And what these people were doing, because they didn't have enough land space, they got a crocus bag. And they got their dirt, and they filled their little crocus bag with their dirt. The crocus bag is porous enough, so you can get aeration in there. And as a matter of fact, the plants were doing better in the crocus bag than they were doing on the earth. So there is no excuse. There is no excuse. That's the excuse we do. This is why manufacturers put us in pieces and take us away from the land. So they can control us. I mean, macaroni and cheese and chicken now who don't have no bone, you know, the big K people, they're coming up with a species of chicken that don't even have bone. So those boneless chickens and all of those kind of a meat. That's what we're eating. Somebody is making too much noise in the background here. So
yeah, I'm hearing it.
I think we have to, you're talking about, I think we must look at our food system. Part of the reggae music does, I remember as a kid of grow up, not only you have to eat, think about what you're eating. The Rasta man taught me when I was growing up that also, and people don't really deal with this too, your utensils is important. The pot you cook after is important. Not only, you can put your food, your good food, in a very toxic environment, like your beautiful plate, them that is lead lit. Although you buy so much for some of these plates, the plastic, again, which we, with the can, that we get so much of our the toxic waste out of. So we have to really look at ourselves in general. And I think the reggae music and the Rastaman, quote unquote, did help us. Now, all of these people are rich and wealthy, is eating like the Rastaman now, is behaving like the Rastaman. The material you buy for clothing, people don't think about their clothing, that is a part of health. The material you put on your body is also to take in consideration. I mean, your clothes have formaldehyde in it, so they can keep night. People don't wash their clothes. I was talking on my program the other day. You, my mother, when you go out and she buy a dress, or underwear for you, you have to wash it before it go on your back. She didn't know why she washes. She usually said people touch it up. But here nowadays, you must wash your clothes because formaldehyde is one of the ingredients they put on the material to keep it from not getting wrinkled and look nice like that in the store. So we have to know these things. We can't just get up and just listen to the advertisement, people, and just whatever they put on the TV is whatever we want. And Bob Marley tells
the people are mining and mangling,
Absolutely. Everybody wants to show off to everybody else, and that is what is taking us down.
Mm.
But let me go before I forget. How is Black Hawk? I mean, you said you went there recently. How, when you knew it, what is the situation like there now?
Dear Bush.
Wow, come on. That's
Bush cover the world soon.
That's supposed to be a historic site, man. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's trying to...
Just like King Tubby's true, that's all.
Yeah,
when
they're
historic as true, they don't exist, But that is something very serious about the clothing, because a lot of us, a lot of people say them don't eat this, but the clothes that they wear is animal clothes.
Absolutely.
Animal shoes. So some of them are controlling them on themselves, you have to have a topic on clothing again and, eat where you, not even the food where you eat. You don't wear the shoes made by animals or those things,
But that's where you now go avoid from. The wearing is a thing very hard to you for avoid that.
Well, no,
No, you can't. If you know the right clothes, because as the doctor saying, you have to know, you know, you don't kill the goat, but yet if you wear a belt or shoes, you throw a Gucci and a goat making you wear it.
Yeah.
You know what I say? So the doctor forgot a subject on that one of them there. Very important.
Yes, I think.
Well, in this time, I'm a killer, man, and take it, make sheet and spread and all kind of thing,
I think we have to. So back to this answer a little bit. So we are talking about historical sites that nobody is paying attention to, that they just disappear. So the history disappears with it as well. Nobody's trying to keep these things alive.
You mean the music?
No, the museum, well, I would have called them a museum, a King Tubby's, a Blackheart. Nobody's trying to preserve those. They're gone.
Yeah.
No, in fucking Tubby's, no.
Now, when it comes to Blackheart, no. Nobody now reach here can scratch. I scratch that, people afraid. Nobody now go touch it. Because can to them, they have them off as science, man, all kind of thing. You see, people afraid now, go there, so. You go there, appear bird, you see. You know, a big bird coop on top of the house.
Wow.
And the rest and he was covered under peat bushes. You know?
Tell me a little bit. I have you right here now. Let me just chat a little bit. We're doing the extended show. But tell me about the relationship between Bunny and Peter and Bob. I mean, tell me a little bit about that little relationship there.
Them people that come in at the business, them live like a brother. Good sound, good everything, but we really go have some distraction between the two of them. During Danny Sims' time, Danny Sims now the job, Bob and Carol, Bob, go to England. Then have Johnny Nash living in Jamaica now. We come amongst Bob them. And Bob write them tune that game now, Grava Jelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another tune. So, them care Bob in England was got to work. So right away now, it's like them just want to separate them.
Mm-hmm.
Separate Bonnie and Peter from Bob. Yeah, Bob no gonna sing tune about reggae and Broadway. Them time there. Well, Bonnie claims that them carry them in, but you see now, them was against Bonnie because Bonnie's a man really called son about everything. Like, Bonnie says certain thing and say, oh, certain thing I got on, so him as a liquor son.
Uh-huh.
It's a thing between Danny Sims and time, and they want to separate. They have Bob alone. So when I turned up, Bonnie said, then left him in a hotel, and when he looked back there, Broadway, I sing. You know? But anyway, after they leave Coxon, they do a whole heap of songs for themselves, like Hypocrite, and where them produce and put out for themselves that they most selling and what's going on and things. So Bob, this season, I want some. Have a car and thing, no, and have some more instruments when we work in one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob leave. And that's when his mother sent for him at Delaware. So that did leave Bonnie and Peter yard. But from ever since now, Peter was a man of the fame thing. Like, you remember, he was Joe Gibbs and the serve for mother, dad, and I do one thing, so now and again, man, Bonnie do look at one thing. But them really are with Pam Bob because Bob was the man with the sound thing. So when Bob come back to Jamaica now, that I know 60, you know, 67, Bob do Duffy Conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
And when that Scratch produced that, and them do them tune a small acts and them thing there. And after them thing, they now start reach out now, and then Chris Blackwell come in now and invest, like them son, and decide to invest night. And invest in them. So the album now. So them carry them on tour. So after Chris put out the album and thing now, Bonnie and Peter now, them was, them never like it. Because them say a separation thing I go on, you know, and a Chris Blackwell uh-huh. Got changed all the name. Change the name now from the Wailers to Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Oh.
They start care kind of ups and down with them from themselves. So anyway, they my plan to go up on a big tour. And Bonnie and Peter decide to then and go. Because they don't get no royalty for over a year.
Wow.
So Bob claims to say, boy, he might go up on the tour. He never wants to sit down there. And I wait and wait and wait. And one man say, no, I want to fly from plane. So if a man don't want to fly from plane, what am I going to do?
I'm not going to.
Hmm. So when Ziggy want food, who am I going to tell? When Ziggy say hungry, we might go to for food. Then them get high trees now and then go up on a tour now. And then start tour and well, people really look forward to see the tree them still. But you know, but through the record was taking place. Now when Bobby come back to Jamaica now, Bobby sent called Bonnie and Peter. They would like the group to come forward. But Peter come on the television at the time and said, it would be great. But it's not going to name Bob Marley and the Wailers, it's not going to name the Wailers.
Mm-hmm.
And every man has got free to sing where they want to sing. It's not going to be no one individual name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody never hear Bonnie because Bonnie never come out contact nothing. You know? But, I must say, you're my family, you know? Well, they're my family because this one's the call, this one brother, this one's the call, this one sister. You know?
Wow.
It's a family thing.
Wow. Well, I'm telling you, Uncle, you know, this, as I said, this is the kind of history that we need to archive, and I'm really, really so happy that you're able to spend the time with us, and we're definitely going to have a part two. But before we go, I want you to tell, I just see you tell us, I know you have some big show lineup for this coming summer. I know you have the summer ahead. Tell us about what you're working on now and where these shows are going to be for the summer. I know that somebody just wrote here that you'll be opening up for, let me see, you'll be opening up for, well, go ahead, I'll find it in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us where are you going to be, you know, in the summer and what you're doing.
Well, coming on July 11th, I will be in Cleveland, Ohio. And then a festival in Chicago on the 13th. And then a one show in Minnesota. Then come back in the city here in New York and head to California to Reggae on the River. And then Reggae on the River, then I'm going to Monterey Festival. That is the 10th of August. Reggae on the River will be the 3rd of August. Monterey Festival will be the 10th. Then I'm heading back to, Petersburg. Petersburg, yeah, and August 24th, and then a festival, Lafayette Festival in New Orleans, some in Lafayette Festival, and then a few club shows, Baton Rouge and New Orleans. Well, pretty much that I have on the list for now.
Well, you're pretty busy. I mean, and your name haven't changed much. Has the group changed, the original Meditation?
Well, we have a little changes there. You know, one of the members only when I'm going to England, he can go.
Okay.
When I go to, you know, I could mix up with Uncle Sam. Yeah, but you know, still going on strong.
Wow, we're happy to hear that,
yeah.
Man. We're certainly happy to hear that. We're really happy and thrilled. I know. And the thing with reggae music is that age does not prevent you guys from getting out there and
No, alive. The only thing stop us is life. I want
yes.
you to have life.
I love it.
Once you have life, you know, you have everything.
Yes, we really love that. We didn't get to play a lot of the big songs, but we are definitely going to give a part two. I mean, we'll be in touch with you. And we have your big, two of your big CDs. It's available. Let me look at these here. The big CDs, Anthem, Danger Society, The Meditation,
yeah.
Society, that's one there that's out, and Answer Meditation Live in Africa. Two big CDs.
Right.
You need to take a peek at these. Let me tell you, those of our listeners listening in, you have to get these guys are reggae music. They are reggae music. You need to get a hard copy of this music. You need to own a CD, not a download. This is a download. Walk through this thing. That don't have history. You need to get a digital copy is going to do this. So we have two big albums here. Meditation Live in Africa, a beautiful, beautiful CD. And Uncle Meditation. The other one is the Dangerous Society, the Meditation. Also, folks, we're going to have Susan Cadogan next week, Wednesday. The history continues. Try to get as much folks as possible. We're going to be able to give us some of the history that we so need in order, if we are to get to this. Let me quickly talk about just a little. 5 minutes or so. Part of trying to get us together, move reggae music so we can get some financial, feed our children to raise. So we started the Reggae Round Robin, folks. This is something that has been working for generation and generation. People taking turns. That's the only way the slaves could have survived to own land. That was a big thing. People getting together and putting their small little bit and making it that somebody can get an opportunity to do their business or to buy their house or to do whatever they choose to do. Reggae Round Robin will bring all the artists together under the banner Reggae Round Robin. Everybody would bring their fan base to the Reggae Round Robin page, which we start on Facebook. Now, when we get a certain amount, we're talking about 200,000 fans, and that is a little bit. If all our conscious artists get together underneath this banner, I mean, gentlemen, I have over 1 million fans. If you have 100 reggae artists, I mean, although they're up and coming, we can get over 1 million fans. But let's say we have 200,000 folks that decide to come on in terms of the fans. Every Friday, we will have one artist put up a music on iTunes or anywhere digital downloads are. And then we ask everybody to go there and get it. Or maybe at that point in time, we would have our own digital download just for this. So we start to keep the funds because it's all about commerce. We control our commerce. We control ourselves. We don't control commerce. We are at that point of enslavement again, and we are, I think. So what we do, if they
Let me just say, when you're doing anything, is to start it and maintain it.
Yeah, let me just finish the idea. So every Friday somebody would get a draw, and as I said, if we have 200 people responding, if Ansel put out his Woman is Like a Shadow, 200,000 people would have gone and spend their dollar with you. And then at the end of the day, you get $200,000 in your hand. There's no artist who is selling 200,000 units in reggae music that is a Jamaican artist. So what that will do, immediately you'll get press. Reggae music will start to get press because every week And if somebody gets a draw of $200,000, believe you me, every single reggae artist is going to find their means and to get everybody on that platform, Reggae Roundup. So if you have, can you imagine that a million people, which is nothing, to spend a dollar with an artist, that we would be producing a million a year every single Friday. It is not, this is something that is not going to cost the artist a dime. It is not going to cost anybody anything other than a fan just putting out a dollar. If we do 52 artists for the year, that is just $52 that you're going to be helping reggae music and an artist. That artist is able to produce better music. They're going to be able to buy their little cars or their little house or whatever they buy with their money. But at least that would be a kickstart for them to go forward. If this goes as how I'm thinking, and I don't see why it shouldn't, then every Friday somebody would have had the means to continue their career. We're going to be talking the players of instrument. Those are the musicians out there would be able to be hired. Producers would be able to be produced. Producing concerts would be out there. The media would be all over this. This would be a phenomenal. And this still, I'm not getting people coming together in droves and taking this idea and running away with this. This is my problem. I don't see what other idea we can come up with that is cost-effective. More than cost-effective is no cost at all. More than a little investment to tell the fans to come to a page so we all can get together. Bring reggae music from under the underground popular music till we can get a place in history. We don't have to beg the Grammys anything to put our name up there. We have been pioneer in this business as a people. We don't ask nobody questions. We don't follow nobody. I don't see why we have to beg the Grammy for any accolades. We can create our own accolades and have them come to us. That's how it's always been. I don't see why we're turning away our power to folks who are not deserving of it. If they want to give us, and at that point, they would have to have us on stage when they're giving us a Grammy. There's no hands, if not but. So we have to have the rightful place. The only way we can do that is, again, the old scratch record. For us to stop singing about getting together and don't mean it and really finally getting together. You know what? Because we don't. Everybody stands to lose, and I think we're already losing it already. I'm not sure we can salvage this now because it's in our mindset. And when people have a way of their mindset, there is hardly anything you can do to change that. So with that said, and I know you may have some folks to thank, and then we can just close it off until we talk at another time.
Well, all I have to say, give thanks and praise for the moment and all the people in that listening. Hope some of us learn what's really taking place and take stand towards the things that you believe in. And all who can put them help, put them input to make reggae music better. You know, ask one-on-one to come out and really support your Caribbean show and let the vibes here all around so people can know what's really taking place. And I hope other artists can call also, give their opinions who were before even my time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it helped the young generation who really involved in the music, you know, because everybody knows just playing reggae, you know, but don't know the real meaning of reggae music and what reggae music did stand for, you know. And I just don't want them just to use reggae music as a commercial, as a little bypass thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we spend our time and I dedicate night, you know, to show people, to teach people liberty, how to live amongst each other. That is all reggae music was about, you know, teaching and educating the people. That is the college.
Well,
yeah, Mr. Collins. Yes, Mr. Hans, respect and thanks for the knowledge. And, you know, Dr. Ev, it's a pleasure again being on the Caribbean Radio Show. I've learned a lot tonight, so, you know, more
yeah,
life,
yeah,
more strength, and to you both.
Blessings. Yeah, that was the 1913, the number one producer in New York. So, hey, producing a big, big tune coming from Miss China Nicole and Zana Du and all of those great artists there. Bless you.
Yeah, man. Big up Zana Du, man. Big up one of my brethren in Whoopton and North Carolina. Big up all the brethren them all over, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes.
Man.
Well, it is a joy. It is a joy. I want to say big up to Soulet up in Canada. I know you're a group of folks up in Canada listening to, you know, they made a party to this thing. So there's a group of folks up there made a party when they know that you were coming on. So we want to big you up, man, and there are folks rooting for you. You guys have really come a long way. We have producers like Mr. Mightyful 13 now produce some great music. And with programs like this, getting to understand better who we are, where we're coming from in terms of musically, because the music tells the history of a country and a people and a nation. You can listen to the music and get the history of your people. So this is not a joke thing. You know, when we're talking about getting out and winding up and skinning out, it just shows us the sadness of where our people are. When you listen to the music, you can tell how strong a nation is from the music that we listen to. We're a strong people. We have bounced back. We have survived so many atrocities. We're still going through this. And the music has kept us together. The music has kept us together, but we are still apart. You know, that's like
yeah,
a because, economy.
Look when you have a stage show or a festival. Look how the music bring the people them together. And everybody there in unity, and when once the music finish.
Yes.
You would pass me out the street. You're not even. It's hard for you to look at I and say, "How you doing? Good morning, sir." It's just hard. That's one of the things, you know. You know, I write a song about that. The name Jah Music. Music and sport is the greatest thing that Jah ever put in our life, you know. Because the music bring people together. The sport bring people together. And no care what difference you have. When the music out here is playing, look at the amount of people that get around just because of the music. So why we can't keep that unity there? The same way the music can bring people from the four corners of the world, because people travel far, you know. You just hear reggae music, you know.
Oh, yes, sir.
You know?
Yes.
People travel some far distance just reggae music. So why we can't live in unity? Look at the power we just give it. Why we can't live in unity? Them kind of crime thing where people are going with them one another and destroy them one another. Look at love and peace. What the music bring to us, man? Eh? Look on the joy. No, sometimes, you know, I tell you, sometimes the fan stage, you know, tears come from my eye, you know. Anytime I sing that tune, you know, we have name trick, you know. Because me know. You know, I'm the feet when I feel and I write that tune, you know. Because I'm a one brothers and sisters in the ghetto. I burn on them one another house. And I shoot them one another over politics and all them kind of thing there. See? So, them things they bring tears to my eye. And not a tune when I'm having fun. Them tune a real tune, you know. Because, so for instance, you have your house. And a man come broke down your house. and you make two politics or whatsoever you want to call it, you're going to destroy some other property and them things. Want to went and go rebuild. You think a little sweat and energy that I go take. You know? That's natural show one, man. And not just the music.
Let me just take this opportunity for play this song here while we are on air. Just let me just take the opportunity to play this. This one is the big song that you've been talking about, Tricked. Let the song speak for itself.
Trick, then a true story that I was referring to the people about during 1976 election in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
I was crying to my people because I saw brothers, sister next door shooting, burning on them one another house, cutting up them one another. See, that's what that song was all about. I said, can't you see we have been tricked? Chinese not fighting, Syrians not fighting, white men not fighting, only we've been fighting and dying. I was preaching to my people, man. You know, that's how much that song mean to I, because it was coming from my heart. Because when I tell my two brothers, once I'm a labor rank, once I'm a PNP, and the two of them, I shoot off one of them, and one of them shoot them next brother, and I'm bottom, and I'm...
Oh.
Brother drop. And the man jump up and take it for joy. I said, it bring tears to my eye, man. I said, wait, how can two men come out of the mother? I shoot her for one another party tricks. Eh?
Oh, gosh.
Man. Yeah, so at that time, man, you know, I've been putting out the song, reality, you know. Can't you see we have been tricked? Yeah, man. Who is behind it? Some big shot.
You know,
I didn't get gone to shoot. A big shot, I sponsored them. And they were so fool and dark. You know, say, a man put something in the hand, we destroy your one brother, and you take it and destroy your one brother.
But you know? What I mean, we changed, though, and so have we really changed?
No, I mean, I think so, you know. People still have them foolish to sing out the world, yeah, right now, you know.
Because
you know,
in the music industry, as much as we sit down and we claim that we have a problem, you know, you have this jockey against this jockey, you have this person against that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Every, even the people them who consciously think them are doing, you have somebody needs to get to a point them say, we're going to support this. You cannot have, in a world, you have to look at the world as it is. I mean, I don't, you know, people talk about slavery, do this to you, but that is crap now, man. You are having an army. This is why your uniform, every freaking person, and your march to attention. Everybody doing the same thing in unison. You cannot have a problem as pervasive as we have in Jamaica, and 50 people doing their own thing. You have to get to the point where we start to march in unison, or else it is crap, it is stupidness, it is foolishness. The same thing is going to happen. Some of us don't kill each other with gun, but we kill each other with word and non-support. We prefer to still go out there and support the other party than our own people.
Yeah.
I mean, I like how she talk, you know, because she do this and she do that. Well, I mean, I do this with her, you know. But, you know, you think of me, you know, and we're thinking that we're hurting each other. You think of it on a personal level. But the people who are in the business, who have the power, who are behind the mic, need to really sit down and understand that we have a damn crisis and must stop this backbiting and stop this hoarding. That either them, we have to get up. This is tough love, you know. This is.
Sometimes in my meditation, you know, I see the whole thing, you know. You know, say, not care how much we try to talk to others, you know. We now was a unit between our between monks of you know, because you know somehow we stubborn like a mule. Somehow we don't listen. And somehow we have different agenda.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
And everybody we have a thing in our name, grudge.
Yes.
And jealous.
Yes.
And that is a thing where you know, it's hard to come out of mankind. Jealousy
okay.
And grudge, you know, and some man, he may not have the ability, you know, for the certain thing like you, you know, and he just envy and jealousy for that.
You can't depend on
the radio right now, and the way you talk to the people can enjoy you more, and people start to talk about you and say, boy, I like Caribbean show and blah, blah. And next man, the one side, I say, oh, I idiot them, the man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm jealous. So jealousy is one thing, you know. It's hard to come out of mankind, man. People envy you. Look. And who you think start jealousy? When you really look on them things, you know, and jealousy and envy, you know. It's that thing when you're in competition, you know.
Yes,
once
sir.
You start competition with each other and show, because you start from youth days in a school, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
always be a competition. Who do that get better grade and who do that and them thing there. So,
yes.
Nowadays people get such used to get jealous that him go see you more advanced, more him catch you on the corner and beat you up and all them way there. You can't be a dancer, be a dance better than him. Just broke up your foot just because. If he say you are going to take away in spotlight when he get, so you say, that's just the thing, man.
I
don't know why. I don't think it's going to really get rid of that. Because
that's the disease that we have in our thing. When we talk about the song, where we on here, you talk about Mr. Zuckerberg, 28-year-old. A couple of these guys sit down and them control now almost 7 billion people. Almost. A little 28-year-old. Look at Bill Gates. Look at all of them guys there. Them sitting in a them basement. Them never have shoes. Them never have food.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody got together and sit together.
Mm-hmm.
Them produce this and them produce this, and eventually everybody, a multi-billionaire,
yeah.
I mean, 100 times. One of the guys who was in Google who said, "Boy, me done, me back out to this." He's an example. This guy now, every freaking day, you know, say, I go crazy because him never have the foresight to see down the road. We don't have no vision as people to stick together, to work things, because we only think temporarily. Everything
mm-hmm.
we do is just for the moment, and to
mm-hmm.
get in, we can show off on somebody else, or we can connive against each other. That's what we're good at. You know, that's like that.
Yeah, you have to look for it, you know, because look, maybe they are right now, and people are very warning. But once me not around anymore, me forgot him.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
So, for instance, look for a youth like Michael Jackson that come out so much, where they want people them love so much. And after a while, they become one of the hateful things. They never stop and stop till they kill him. And when they kill him, don't know.
They're
sorry.
Them. Eh? They're not going to tell you. This is
the
what
greatest entertainer they never sit on the face of the earth. Eh? They never stop and stop. Them do everything. Them depress him. Them everything. And what? Watch it. Him run himself to wreck and kill off himself. And
but
now them sorry.
The
eh?
Same we do with Marcus Garvey, the same thing with Malcolm X. We no use for the hero until he dead and he can't talk. We people, that's how we operate.
Come up. Oh, he was a good man. He was a this. He was a that. But you never honor him. You never give him and forget when he alive with you. And when he's gone, oh, you want to honor him. They never honor Bob Marley until when he's gone.
As a matter of fact, let's step back.
Eh?
If you don't finish the show, we are going back. Let's step back again.
You want people in our people to reject him, my yard, you know.
They
just see him as a dirty rasta, you know.
Also,
them see him as, you know.
Of course.
And when he gone now, me comes to doctors and all them high color people now. I said them a rasta and a come on and a jump and I say,
and
them see other people upset him now.